Ladies and gentlemen, the meeting will recommence at this time. Mike Beekman will be making a few recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Mike Beekman. I'm with Safety and Student Services. And as you can see, we made some modifications to our board venue and procedures. And this was done in collaboration with our union leadership, our PTA leadership, and the fire authority. And we wanted to do this to allow as many people as possible to participate in the meeting while keeping a safe and orderly environment. And I'd like to thank the organizations for that participation. The procedures established for tonight have actually been followed fairly well. You guys are quick learners, picked right up on it. To comply with the fire code, we need to keep all aisle areas cleared, so we can't have anybody standing in any of the aisle areas. We're going to enter only through this rear door because we want to fill as many of these seats up as possible, so we can't go over the occupancy per the seats, so we're actually counting people as they're coming in and going out. With that being said, if you're leaving for good, please let us allow somebody who's been waiting patiently outside to come in by telling the people at the door that you're leaving for good. If you're not leaving for good, make sure you get a stamp so you can go to the restroom or take a breather or get a cell phone call, and then you can come back in. If you're turning in blue cards on agenda item, you need to have it prior to the time that the agenda item is opened. We can't accept late blue cards. And as always, please show respect and courtesy to others while you're making your comments and interacting with other people. We appreciate the support. We know it's kind of awkward anytime you change a situation or a venue or a procedure, but we appreciate your cooperation in advance. And we are going to try to get as many people in as possible. So please, if the seat next to you is not occupied, we're going to ask that you allow people in next to you. Okay? And we've already identified those seats, so we're going to be working to let people in as quickly as possible now. Thank you for your cooperation and your support.
At this time, we will have seven speakers who will have 3 minutes each. I will read the entire list, and if you would be kind enough to line up, I would appreciate it, as it will expedite the time and everyone will have enough time. The first speaker will be Teresa Farnan. The second speaker will be Vicki Soderberg. The third speaker will... I'm sorry, but please be respectful because you're going to take time away from the speakers. The next speaker will be Craig Alexander. The next speaker will be Kim Anderson. The next speaker will be Jennifer Beal. The next speaker will be Lisa Sharman. And the last speaker will be Tony Beal. Would you please line up at this time, and we will start with Teresa Farnan as our first speaker. Each speaker has 3 minutes. Teresa Farnan, are you here? Teresa, would you please come to the podium as you are the first speaker? Last person in line. She needs to come. There. Thank you. Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you. I just want to tell you that there are a lot of people in our community that support you, and I just came here to say thank you for all your hard work.
Thank you very much, Teresa. Thank you, Teresa. Please. Thank you very much. Ms. Vicki Soderberg.
Thank you very much, President Bryson. Before I begin, I'd like to inform our guests from the city of Irvine, so graciously invited by Ms. Jennifer Beal, that despite what you might have been told, all the teachers standing outside this building tonight are Capistrano teachers. Not a one was bussed in. Not a one was bussed in from LA Unified, and not a one is being paid to be out there in the cold tonight. Yeah. Trustees, I bring to you tonight these resolutions, one from every single school in Capistrano Unified, signed by teachers, speech pathologists, psychologists, counselors, nurses, who, as a result of the trustees' actions, stand united in a vote of no confidence in your leadership of this district. For example,
you
insist on permanent pay cuts to address temporary.
Would you hold 1 second, please? I am sorry, but you are here as guests. She is addressing the board, and every minute that you disrupt, you are taking time away from Ms. Soderberg. Please continue, Vicki.
Thank you very much. You insist upon a permanent pay cut to address a temporary funding problem. This egregiously proposed permanent pay cut would relegate CUSD teachers' salaries to last in Orange County, crippling the future ability of this district to recruit and retain an excellent teaching force. You seriously mismanaged district funds by pouring precious dollars into the pockets of high-priced lawyers. You continue to make unethical decisions with grave fiscal ramifications, including the authorization of out-of-court settlement payments to your campaign supporters, the award of lucrative district contracts to your friends, and the failure to apply for state waiver to an election, resulting in a potential cost to the district of up to $500,000. You create a new district office director of facilities position and employ numerous other district office consultants and interims, which clearly demonstrates that the fiscal support of the district's classroom is not your number one priority. The trustees apparently are unconcerned with the numerous administrators who have rapidly resigned from CUSD employment since they took office and continue to demonstrate an attitude that teachers, too, are replaceable and easily expendable, destroying the morale of the very people upon whom they rely to maintain high student academic achievement in this district. The teachers of this district have a resolve that the CUSD Board of Trustees immediately desist from their previously listed actions, that they work with the CUEA negotiations team to craft a reasonable and responsible solution to the temporary economic crisis facing our schools, and in doing so, secure the sustainable future of public education in Capistrano Unified.
I'm going to ask for the room to be cleared. Recess. One of the things
that probably should have been stated was that, excuse me, in order to have appropriate speaking time, and I don't know how we neglected to mention this, we were going to tell you that we want to move along. We know that there are buses that have deadlines in which to leave because of the cost of those buses. And we know that everybody wants to hear what everyone else has to say who's in the speaking line. I'm going to invite the trustees back, because what you didn't hear was that the trustees were to exit if there was undue response to each speaker. So now you are thus informed, and we can move along. Could you get the other?
Excuse me, folks. We'd like to continue with the meeting. I'd just like to ask you to be respectful, to keep your voices down, so that we can let the speaker speak and move on with the meeting. Thank you.
First of all, if you were unable to hear, it was due to the cacophony that was going on here. If you wish this meeting to proceed, you will give equal respect to people that you disagree with as the trustees will give respect to the people we disagree with. And it will be equal for everyone. Not rude for some and polite for others. That is the standard I expect from an educated audience. If I have to recess again, then your people, left, right, in between, whoever they are, may not get to speak. And if you wish to hear the opinions here, then please be even-handed with everyone and have some respect for these people's time. You, I believe, Craig Alexander, are the next speaker. You were third after Vicki Soderbergh. Thank you.
Good evening, trustees. My name is Craig Alexander. I am a lawyer. I practice in Irvine, but I live in Dana Point, and therefore I'm one of your constituents. Before I discuss tonight what I came here to discuss, I've heard a lot of on the blogs about my being connected to Education Alliance, and let me just put that to rest. I have the honor of serving on the board of Education Alliance, and I happen to consider Mark Bucher to be a good friend of mine. We supported you in your different elections, not because you're our puppets, but because you are intelligent and, I can see more tonight, courageous people who have kept your promise to bring up back integrity and openness and honesty to this board. And as a constituent, I appreciate it and I support you. Contrary to what one of the speakers said tonight, I don't recall ever sending you a memo about who to elect tonight. Maybe it's another Education Alliance. One of the things I'd like to hopefully dispel, we at Education Alliance do not want you as a school district to teach children religion. Religion should be the exclusive teaching by parents and their various houses of faith. The only position I think the school district should take in that is to support the parents and to respect the parents and not to trustees or Dr. Corbett to denigrate their faith or undercut what the parents are trying to do. The final thing I'd like to say is, I mean, I could talk a long time about many things, but this whole business of a waiver, that's a disenfranchisement of every voter in this district. I'm one of them, and I do not want to be disenfranchised, and I don't think you'd find the majority of voters in this district would like that either. We want our vote on how this district will be governed and who we can vote for. So I urge you to reject that idea in toto. Thank you.
Thank you. Kim Anderson.
Good evening, trustees and Superintendent Mahler. I'm Kim Anderson. I'm speaking here tonight in my capacity as the Capistrano Unified Council PTSA Legislative Co-Chair. Something happened recently to make us realize that not all of our trustees understand what our legislation team does. So we would like to take this opportunity to educate you about our role and the significant contributions we've made to CUSD. Also, so PTA was founded as an advocacy organization, and for over 100 years, National PTA has been the largest volunteer child advocacy association in the nation, working exclusively on behalf of all children and youth. Our Capistrano Unified PTA legislation team has been dedicated to advocating for children of our district at all levels of government for many years. National PTA recognized us as the best legislative team in the nation this year, 2009, by honoring us with two advocacy awards, and the California State PTA gave us the Outstanding Advocacy Award in 2008. Over the last 4 years, the legislation team's advocacy efforts have helped bring in approximately $3.1 billion statewide for education. That translates to almost $21 million additional dollars for Capistrano Unified, or an extra $404 per student. We have accomplished this through regular visits to Sacramento to meet with representatives in the governor's office and the speaker's office, meeting with senators and assembly members, members of the education and budget committees, the legislative analyst's office, the Department of Finance, the California Department of Education, state PTA, and the top education consultants in the state who influence education initiatives and policy. In fact, a small group of us was just up in Sacramento last Thursday, advocating for the kids of Capistrano Unified School District. We have also visited Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., with PTA leaders from all over the country to urge our Senate and congressional representatives to provide adequate funding for education. We've organized multiple effective parent-driven advocacy campaigns involving letter writing, emailing, and phone calls to specific state or national legislators, the governor, and at times the U.S. president. PTA is an international organization that is highly regarded and respected. If a well-known major corporation, such as Starbucks or Lexus or Nike, were contributing over $5 million per year to CUSD, which is in essence what our legislative team does, you would be grateful, appreciative, and respectful. As PTA, we ask the same from all of you. Thank you.
Jennifer Beal.
Good evening, trustees. I just want to take a moment to thank you for all your service here tonight. I'd also like to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and hope you have a happy holiday this season. To the fan club I have out here, I wish you all a Merry Christmas as well, and I hope you find some holiday joy. Through the last 7 years, I have come to this school district, and there's been a lot of turbulence. The very first visit I had was quite a shocker. I was followed to my car, threatened by Dave Doomey. I turned around and told him, "You did not scare me, and I will be back," and I was. So this here doesn't frighten me too much. That night I was a little. 2 years forward, we were organizing a recall on my kitchen table. Fleming sent a mole to my house. Her name is Trudy Perdoza. She's here in this audience. She asked me all sorts of questions about my children, all sorts of questions about the K-8, and all sorts of other things. Later, I read a memo verbatim what happened. There's been a lot of problems in this district, and you have brought hope back to the parents and the constituents. We appreciate what you've done here. We appreciate the budget meetings you've had, the communication to the parents. We know there is no money. We understand hard times are out there for a lot of families. We hope that you can resolve the issues with the union and we can move forward. And I thank you for your diligence on the budget. There's a lot of things being floated around about legal fees, consultant fees. I sat at this podium 6 or 7 times with spreadsheets about legal fees, and not one of these people in this audience today cared that we were spending $2.2 million every year with Rattan and Tucker. And that was only one of 7 law firms that were being used. No one cared then that the general fund was supporting that. That has changed under your leadership, and it is recognized by many, and thank you. We hope you continue to move this district forward during these hard times. I trust all of you to do the right thing. And so to the 74,000 people that voted for you, these 200 never did. They never will. But the 74,000 parents did vote for you. Please keep up the hard work. I am so sorry you have had to endure this turbulence down here. It is mind-boggling, to say the least. Merry Christmas to you all, and I hope you have a happy holiday.
Lisa Sharman.
Good evening, trustees. My name is Lisa Sharman.
Please close the door in the back. One moment, Lisa. We won't be able to hear you. Please close the door in the back. We have someone here who would like to be heard by the board. Thank you.
Good evening, trustees. My name is Lisa Sharman, and I'm the president of the Capistrano Unified Council of PTSAs. It has come to my attention that there is a lack of understanding about who we are and what we do. Currently, we have over 25,000 members at 53 units or schools in our district. Our units have budgeted to raise a total of $2.5 million to spend on the children in our school district this year. Some of the expenditures for the 2009-2010 school year include $100,000 for library support, $140,000 for assemblies, $110,000 for technology, $200,000 for art programs, $250,000 for field trips, $200,000 for music programs, $220,000 for classroom support, $700,000 for miscellaneous programs, and the list goes on. In addition to raising money to fund these programs for our students, PTA members volunteer over 580,000 hours in our classrooms and schools each year. If you use the California minimum wage rate of $8 per hour, that equates to a labor cost savings of over $4.6 million to CUSD. When added to the money CUC PTSA units expect to raise this year, and the $5 million that our legislation team's advocacy efforts have helped to bring to CUSD, that means that CUC PTSA, its units and members, donate $12 million annually to our district. We are smart and savvy community leaders that have received national PTA, state PTA, and 4th District PTA awards for our advocacy efforts and programs. We are able to organize events and volunteers, and we raise and manage significant amounts of money in a variety of creative ways, none of which include bake sales. We do this consistently, proudly, and happily for our children in our district each and every year. Finally, as the representative of an organization of over 25,000 members that donates $12 million to CUSD annually, and with our district facing cuts in 2010-11 of over $20 million and a recommendation of qualified certification for the first interim report, CUC PTSA urges the school board trustees to reconsider your position on the trustee election methodology waiver. We ask that you be fiscally responsible and actively seek the June election waiver. We support the waiver, and we think that the anticipated cost to CUSD of approximately $500,000 will be better spent in the classroom on our children than on an election in June. Thank you.
Our final speaker is Tony Beal. Please close the door in the back.
Good evening. The people of South Orange County truly appreciate the wonderful job that these seven reformed trustees are doing. Under your leadership, test scores across the district have risen sharply.
Would you please wait one moment, Mr. Beal, because is the door closed? Thank you. Thank you.
Test scores across the district have risen sharply. You successfully balanced the budget, increased financial reserves. You enacted strong anti-nepotism policies and completed a district-wide facilities assessment. You achieved these and many other accomplishments under the most trying of circumstances. You have faced continuous opposition from the very same people who for years fought against reforming CUSD and lost. These are zealots from the ranks of the unions and apologists for the corrupt Fleming regime. Our state and our country are now facing the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. Millions of Americans have lost their jobs or had their salaries slashed. And in order to balance the budget, you had to cut $25 million last year. You're faced with cutting another $25 million this year. 88% of your budget is spent on salaries, benefits, and retirement expenses for public employees. Money for the student programs and facilities has already been slashed. Administrators and principals have already taken a concession totaling 10 to 11%. However, the teachers' union has not taken any cuts. California public school teachers are the highest paid in the nation, and they have received pay increases year after year after year. And look around. Union boss boss, Vicki Soderbergh, is still opposing reform and fighting to retain her stranglehold on the significant budget here at CUSD. They loudly protest for more money. They threaten to strike. They seek a new parcel tax. They support a ballot initiative that would take away 6 of 7 votes from every voter. They disrespect voters by demanding an election waiver. They chant children's first, but their actions simply say, give me more, more, more. The current union spoils system is unsustainable. Selfish union leaders would bankrupt the school district before consenting to necessary cuts. Just look what the union leaders did to the American automobile industry. They may send busloads to protest for more money, but the voters who elected each of you by landslide margins appreciate how you continue to govern responsibly on behalf of your constituents, all of the students and the taxpayers and the people that live within Capistrano Unified. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. That closes. Please, we need to continue with our meeting. There is business to be conducted here. At this time, we will address items 4 through 12, and we will call the cards for those items.
Trustee Bryson, if I might have one moment.
Yes, President. Well, there you go. The changing of the guard is a little more difficult than one would think. Yes, Trustee Adonizio.
Last month, one of our constituents, Ms. Kehlani Conroy, addressed the board and was concerned about potta-potties that were outside our buildings across the road at Thornsley, and Ms. Conroy was correct. They were there. We thank her for bringing that to our attention. I'd seen them. I did not realize that they were ours, of course, and our staff was very diligent about replacing them. They have been taken away. The students and staff now have an entrance into the restrooms and so forth, so sometimes these items happen. I do appreciate you bringing that forward. We all do. Staff was very, very diligent, and we appreciate you doing that. Thank you so much.
And thank you
to staff. They acted very quickly. We were concerned, and staff responded quickly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trustee Adonizio, and that is the reason why we need to listen to the people who speak here. They bring to our attention matters that are extremely important. We can't be everywhere. Not even staff can be everywhere, and we would like to address them in the proper manner so that we can hear and understand what the good and the bad, what all the situations are. So now, as I said, we're going to do 4 through 12 in the reorganization. And I will call the blue cards by agenda item. If you would come forward, please. Agenda item number 4, Committee on School Redistricting, I'm sorry. And that would be Marilyn Amato, and you have 3 minutes each. Marilyn, followed by Crystal Kokendorfer on number 5, followed by Kevin Kerwin on number 9.
Each item separately.
And then I will go back and address each item separately. Thank you, Marilyn Amato.
Tonight I would like to address agenda item number 4. It is my understanding that this item is regarding the selection of one of CSD's trustees to serve on a committee which votes on the candidates for the County Committee on School District Organization. I'd like to ask that when considering such a person that each of you reflects carefully regarding the fulfilling of this position. On October 21st, I was in attendance at the County Committee meeting regarding the voting by area issue. One of the items brought up by a person attending that meeting pertained to how county members were elected. We were told by Mr. Dave Wilson, manager of business services, that all school superintendents were informed of the nominating committee correspondence between July and October 2009. As Mr. Wilson was stating this, Trustee Bryson, who was also in attendance, kept shaking her head no, indicating that CUSD had never been notified. Therefore, I took it upon myself to write Mr. Wilson asking whether or not CUSD partook in the process, since it was clear to me and the others attending that meeting that by Ms. Bryson's body language that CUSD had not. His response to me stated that Anna Bryson submitted an absentee ballot prior to October 7, 2009. Apparently, Ms. Bryson was either not aware of what was on the ballot that she was signing or just didn't do her due diligence on the matter. I would hope that any of the representatives that you are electing tonight to committees would take their responsibility seriously. Just as with this example, you do not seem to either understand or care about the children of CUSD or the constituents that elected you. Your position on the waiver makes this apparent. You broke your campaign promises of voting for by area by not supporting the waiver. You broke Ed Code 33050 by not including the yes position of the 100% of those polled on the issue. You broke the Brown Act when President Adonisio took a poll of the Board of Trustees asking whether they wanted to revisit discussing the waiver, and you broke Board Policy 9150 when you refused to put the waiver on the agenda after Board Member Alacani asked to have it requested. I could go on and on. You ask for our respect. You ask us to work with you. But time and time again, you create your own rules, breaking whatever code you feel necessary. We, the parents, want a functioning school district. We want happy teachers and educated children. Until you start honoring your positions, I feel this is never going to happen.
Crystal Kolkendorfer. Oh, I'm so sorry. Crystal, would you just remain there for a moment? We need to vote on agenda item number 4. Okay. Orange County Committee on School District Organization. Do we have any discussion from the trustees?
I'll move President Bryson.
There's been a motion by Trustee Lopez Maddox. Is there a second?
What was the motion, please?
It's Orange County Committee on School District Organization.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear Trustee Lopez Maddox.
He moved President Bryson. He moved me for the position.
Second.
Is there any discussion? Hearing none. We have an action. Then we're going to go on.
Take a vote,
item.
Trustee Bryson. All in favor?
I would prefer to roll it.
Trustee
I would
Bryson.
Prefer to have a roll call.
Student Advisor Saum Alacani.
Aye.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
President Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Yes.
Trustee Adonisio.
Aye.
Thank you. The vote was 7-0, I believe. Thank you. And now, Crystal Kolkendorfer will address number 5, the reorganization of the board. Thank you.
Thank you. President Bryson, trustees, Superintendent Mahler, I am Crystal Kolkendorfer, a resident of Dana Point. My children attended CUSD schools, kindergarten through 12th grade, got an excellent education, and I thank everybody who was a part of that. I'm here tonight to speak on your selection to the Orange County School Boards Association, their Political Action Committee. because it's an important position. You get to elect two people. I would encourage you that you choose people who have the time to know the issues, to attend the meetings, which are in conjunction with the dinner meetings usually. Even if you don't attend the dinner, the meetings themselves are free, and to then to report back to the board, because these are important positions. And secondly, I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about politics of being on a school board and political action committees. And I also want to congratulate you on being a large school district that's recognized for outstanding achievement. And I give accolades to the teachers and the principals and the wonderful support of parents who are here tonight. I'm talking a little bit about local involvement rather than outside folks, and I really wasn't going to speak to you tonight, but when I was standing outside, somebody was circulating an email from a woman in Irvine encouraging people outside of the district to come down here and support you, and that's why I'm speaking to you. You know, I sat up there for 18 years, and there were times when my back was against the wall and my feet were against the fire, and I stood there and listened during negotiations and had teachers upset about where the board was at that position, boundary changes where parents were upset, budget cuts where everybody was upset, and I faced recall people, some of whom are in the audience tonight, singing your praises and sat there and called me from the back of the room a liar, called me a criminal, accused me of corrupt behavior, and told me I should be ashamed of myself. So I know what it's like to sit on the hot seat, but what I will tell you is I never picked up the phone and asked for support from somebody to bring in people from outside the district. Our employees are to our constituents, the people sitting in this room who represent parents and students and interested citizens, those are the people you need to be listening to, not people from outside. Our teachers came here tonight on buses, our buses, not from LA. I'd also like to point out, when I looked at this email, they got the name of the school district wrong. They called it San Juan Unified. We are Capistrano Unified. San Juan Unified's up in Northern California. She also spoke about, and Mr. Beal misquoted the, and it's wrong, the 88% unless Mr. Lebs is wrong. I checked it out tonight, and I'm told salaries and associated benefits represent 85%. Now, that part of that is because you've been cutting, but maybe when people throw out figures, they need to recheck them. The reason I'm saying this is I care about the district. I want you to be successful. Mrs. Bryson, you talked about being fair, and you talked about listening to everyone. Yet I will point this out to you with the best of intentions. I saw people come in here tonight, put down their blue cards, and I saw someone request the person to number them in order. And they were numbered 1 through 15. And Mr. and Mrs. Beal were not 1 through 15. The only reason, and you may not have anything to do with that, President, what I would like to say is you can earn the trust of the people if you are open and if you do listen, and they don't have to listen to people who headed the recall come up and praise you. But I do wish you a Merry Christmas and a safe holiday.
Thank you. I would appreciate, once again, we have a huge agenda tonight, and number six is the next agenda item. Okay, sorry. You're going to have to bear with me while I absorb all of this. At this time, we are now going to have, do we have a motion to move Orange County School Board's political action group effort? Do we have two people who would wish to be on that? Yes.
I haven't discussed
this with her. Lopez-Matic.
I don't know how interested she is, but she's got a real firm handle on a lot of the issues facing this district. I would like to nominate Trustee Palazzo.
Trustee Palazzo.
I do have a question. Where are these meetings held? Dr. Mahler, can you tell me?
Yes, they're always held at the Orange County School Board.
They're not up in Sacramento or down in San Diego?
No. Thank you.
my microphone's on now.
They're not up in Sacramento?
No, they're at the Marriott in Irvine.
Okay. Okay, that... I will accept if it's a local meeting. Thank you.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Brick. We have a nomination in the second, and she has accepted. Is there another nomination because we have two seats? I would like to nominate former President Trustee Adonizio. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Thank you, Trustee Palazzo. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, the nominations are closed, and we thank both of you for your coming service. Now we go to agenda item numbers.
Need to vote.
I'm sorry.
All in favor.
All in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed.
All opposed. I hear an echo here. All opposed. Hearing none, it's a 7-0 vote. Thank you very much. And now we're going to go to agenda item number 6, Orange County Traffic Committee. Carrie Brockman is the district representative. And do we have any recommendations on this? Just move it. All right, do we have a motion? Trustee Maddox.
I'll move to retain Carrie Brockman in that position.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you very much. Trustee Winston, it has been moved and seconded. May we have a voice vote, please. Aye.
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 Thank you very much. Is that a 7-0? I did not hear an
aye. All in favor say aye. All opposed.
All right, we'll go through this again. I'm sorry to make this difficult for everyone. All right. All in favor of Mr. Brockman in this position?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, 7-0. Thank you, Mr. Brockman, very much. Now we go to item number 7. Actually, we don't have any speakers for number 7, so we're going to go to the next speaker, Kevin Kerwin, who will speak to agenda item number 9, which is CSBA delegates.
We need 2 members for number 7.
Okay. We don't just do the speakers. Okay. Instructional Materials Review Committee, item number 7.
I'd like to volunteer for that this year.
Is there a second to the interest of Trustee Adonizio?
Second.
Thank you very much, as I would have to remove myself from that committee. Thank you for your service. And now, is there a second? For Christensen. Wait a minute, because she spoke up on her own. Trustee Lopez Maddox, are you making the motion?
Actually, if we could do them in tandem, perhaps I'll move.
I think that would be better.
Trustees Adonizio and Christensen to serve on the committee.
Trustees Adonizio and Lopez to serve on the Instructional Materials Review Committee.
I'll restate the motion. I'll move for Trustees Adonizio and Christensen to serve on the Instructional Materials Committee Review Committee.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Brick. All in favor? Voice
aye.
Vote. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. 7-0 on item number 7. Item number 8, ad hoc committees. The following trustees participate in the following ad hoc committees. City of Aliso Viejo, Trustees Adonizio and Lopez Maddox. City of Dana Point, Trustees Brick and Bryson. City of Laguna Niguel, Trustees Adonizio and Bryson. City of Mission Viejo, Trustees Adonizio and Lopez Maddox. City of Rancho Santa Margarita, Trustees Christensen and Palazzo. City of San Clemente, Trustees Bryson and Winston. City of San Juan Capistrano, Trustees Palazzo and Winston. Do we have a motion to move?
I'll make a motion to retain the same assignments for the following year.
Thank you, Trustee Winston.
Second.
We have a second. Thank you, Trustee Adonizio. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. That's a 7-0 vote. Item number 10. I'm sorry, 9. What happened to 10? Oh, there it is. Item number 9, CSBA Delegate Assembly Appointments. And we do have a speaker on item number 9. Are you Kevin Kerwin? Thank you so much. Please.
Hi, my name is Kevin Kerwin. I'm a parent of two children at San Clemente High. CUSD is a member of the California School Boards Association. The CUSD board currently has two trustees appointed to the CSBA Delegate Assembly, Trustees Bryson and Maddox. Delegates are expected to attend two CSBA meetings per year. One of these meetings is the CSBA Annual Education Conference, which was held in early December in San Diego. This is considered an excellent opportunity for trustees to learn to deal with issues facing school districts throughout California. Particularly relevant topics for this year included ethical leadership and cutting attorney fees in tough economic times. I look forward to hearing from trustees Bryson and Maddox what seminars they attended and what information was learned that could benefit the education of the children of CUSD. I did see that Trustee Bryson was in San Diego for the PRI board member training the day before the CSBA meeting. A $150 stipend was offered to school board members attending this meeting, which featured the PRI movie, Not As Good As You Think, The Myth of the Middle Class School. This is the movie which disparages the education provided by CUSD in a case study which focuses on recall committee members and our current trustees. I do not see how Trustee Bryson can take credit for the advances in CUSD test scores while promoting this negative depiction of CUSD schools. Thank you.
I will make a comment on this just to say that I did attend the CSBA after that. I did go to many very interesting seminars, and we'll be happy to discuss that at another date. Do we have a motion
on
this subject? Yes, Trustee Lopez Maddox.
If I might, I attended the, I won't go and belabor the point, all the different issues discussed, but I did attend the California School Board Association Delegate Assembly. I'd like to point out one important piece of information, and that was the discussion coming out of the legislative analyst's office that we can expect California's recession to last until 2015. That was certainly very disappointing to hear.
I have to concur that that's what we're hearing in the treasurer's office as well. Do we have a motion? I no longer will be able to serve in this capacity, although I did attend the seminars. Is there someone who would like to move a replacement for me on that position?
I move Trustee Winston for the CSBA.
Is there a second for Trustee Winston on the CSBA? Thank you, Trustee Brick. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Welcome to CSBA, Trustee Winston. And we also need a motion for the re-election of Trustee Lopez Maddox. Yours until 2011? Fine. Great. All right. That eliminates a vote. Sorry about that. All right. Moving on to the next item. Item number 10. We have a speaker. Chris Corey will speak to item number 10, the CUSD Foundation.
It's Chris Corpy, Children First, Capital Unified Children First.org. I would like to speak to your agenda item referencing the CUSD Foundation. I was reading in the LA Times recently about the car giveaway and Trustee Winston's comments in response to the donation to the district. Trustee Winston applauded the money that was being donated and said that this money would be multiplied many times over and that any money coming into the district was helpful. The same logic also applies to money going out of the district. That money is also magnified and multiplied, and I question whether Trustee Winston was sincere when he stated that he was pleased with this donation. To my friends from Irvine, I voted for these trustees. I voted for your recall. I voted for them as a Republican. I worked for Reagan. I worked for the U.S. Senate as a Republican. So don't speak for me when you say that everybody in this room didn't vote for them, because I did. I was conned. My friends were conned. My neighbors were conned. And I can assure you that this community does not support these people anymore.
I regret, but you are to address the board in your comments. You are not here to address the audience. That is not the procedure.
You let them address the audience.
No.
So it doesn't... It's not fair to me.
You are to address the trustees, or I will have to stop your speaking.
President Bryson, watching you approve and appropriate money to your attorney friends and campaign supporters and financial contributors, it's hard for me to recognize you as the one who ran on a platform of fiscal responsibility, open government, and who claims to be a Republican. How can you expect your employees to negotiate with you when you can't be trusted? You are spending money like you're deliberately trying to bankrupt this district. Was that your strategy all along? Bankrupt the district so you can rebuild it in some grand experiment taught to you by PRI? I'm happy you appreciated the money the CUSD Foundation raised for this district, but why raise money for the district when you turn around and are spending thousands of times more on unnecessary projects? Trustee Winston and other members of the CUSD Board of Trustees, you need to restore trust with your constituents and voters. We are all here to help work with you. We are here to ask you to rebuild that trust, hoping that you have some decency, stop the runaway spending and the squandering of the public trust. You can regain a portion of that trust you have lost by calling a special meeting and reconsidering the issue of the waiver before it is too late. $500,000 you can save in one vote, and that is the right and the decent thing to do.
Thank you. On the CUSD Foundation, we had Trustee Brick serve in 09. So is there a motion for a nomination to this board?
I'd like to move to retain Trustee Brick in that position.
There is a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee.
The question
Maddox
is whether Trustee Brick is able to serve.
Sir, do you want to?
Trustee Brick, are you able to serve?
Yes.
Thank you so much. Trustee Brick has accepted that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. 7-0 for the retaining of Trustee Brick to the CUSD Foundation. Agenda item number 11, and we do have a speaker. Pete Espinosa, please.
Jack, it's great to meet you. I'm still after that cup of coffee with you that I was trying to hook up. Sue, I hope your son's doing well and slow. And Sam, you're my hero. Trustees, especially Mr. Brick. He hasn't responded yet, but he's my someone I want to focus on this evening. First of all, I'm former trustee, 93, 90, 99, resident of South County for the last 30 years, parent of two children who attended Las Palmas, Shorecliffs, and San Clemente. They're doing well professionally and personally, and I owe that to the teachers and the support staff, the bus drivers, the custodians, who we're still friends with after all these years. My grandparent of a child who will soon be attending Capo Unified School District. I'm an advocate for Children's First, and I'm therefore an advocate for public education. Your board's reorganization agenda is missing the effort to regain public trust. I heard it mentioned twice, and so I want to expand on that. As elected trustee, I committed myself to the notion that public trust relates to the origin of a democratic in government. I'm sure we read that many times. And it's the core idea is that it's within the public. Within the public lies true power. And that the future of our community depends upon the trust the public placed in me and my trust in the public. And the trust must be mutual. It must have reciprocity. And that's a tremendous challenge for you, the board, being the leaders that you're elected to be. You're our role models, especially for the children who are first. The complexity of the challenges and issues faced by an trustee and the community require this base of mutual respect, and then we may grapple with the very complex issues of the day and search for the wisest solution, which is in the best interest of children, given the tough economic times, obviously, we all know about. Unfortunately and obviously, that respect has dissolved. This is my first meeting here since 1999, and it's clearly there's a problem. Public trust is seriously shattered. It's eroding even more rapidly than I imagined when I decided to support Children First about a month ago. But there's still hope. I'm a hopeful person. I'm not a bad guy, Jack. That's why you have to have a cup of coffee with me. I'll treat you to a café de olla, which is a little bit of cinnamon coffee that I'll treat you to. But, Jack, there's still time. I'm pointing you out because you had the courage to vote last September, October, and we need your courage to stand up again and take a stand. But a step in the right direction would be for you to reorganize your priorities and set up a special meeting to vote in favor of the waiver. A vote in favor of the waiver is one step toward regaining public trust.
Thank you. Trustee Adamizio, could you send my water down here as I have no water? Is my water bottle still there? I'd really appreciate it. Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Agenda item number 12. We have two speakers at least.
11.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was worried about my water, so we have to go back and vote. All right. On District Restructuring Council, Trustee Adonizio served on this committee in 09. We are seeking a new individual. Are there nominations?
I think I saw Mr. Maddox, Lopez Maddox volunteer. I'll nominate Trustee Lopez Maddox.
So Trustee Winston has nominated Trustee Lopez Maddox for this position, and Trustee Adonizio has seconded it. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? 7-0. Thank you. I need another pen. Now we will go to item number 12. Resolution of 0910-42, Role of the Board, Powers and Responsibilities. Fran Sedao, is that the correct pronunciation? Sedao? Thank you. Fran Sedao.
Thank you. I was a long way away. Happy holidays. In a few minutes, you will be voting to reaffirm your role and responsibilities as school board members. Resolution 0910-42 states that as a school board member, you understand and accept as your primary responsibility the goal of providing opportunity for each student to develop his or her unique abilities to the highest possible level. That means your job is to put children first in all that you do as board members. The resolution states that your second responsibility...
Could you wait one second, please? I would really like to hear what Ms. Sedao has to say. So I would appreciate it if everyone would be respectful. Thank you.
Thank you. The resolution states that your second responsibility is to support other initiatives and legislation which preserves and promotes local control. Local control will better enable your decisions as board members to reflect the desire of local school constituents with regard to public education. Your constituents have been speaking to you for the past few months about local control and have asked you to exercise your power and responsibilities as board members to request a waiver from an election that will determine how CUSD elects trustees in the future. You have the opportunity to live up to both your responsibilities responsibilities as board members and to fulfill your own promises to constituents by immediately requesting the waiver. Therefore, be it resolved, as a school board member, I will strive to make decisions based upon providing the best educational opportunities for students of Capistrano Unified School District within the guidelines of state and federal legislation, coupled with the expressed views of local citizenry. Thousands of local citizens are asking you to do the right thing for the children in this district. Stop recklessly spending precious resources on attorneys and consultants. Take action to protect our tax dollars as you promised you would. Practice the fiscal responsibility that you preached. Request the waiver and enable this district to save on costs for all future elections. Put our money where it belongs. Give our children the tools they need to achieve their full potential. Quality teachers, top-notch administrators, safe schools, appropriate supplies, equipment, and facilities. I certainly hope that you have read this resolution and that you have every intention of following it. Thank you.
Thank you. And now we are moving it. Thank you, Trustee Adonizio. Thank you, Trustee Lopez Maddox. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 7-0. The motion carries. Thank you. No, I don't have it. One moment while I look, please. What is your name?
Gail.
Okay. One moment, we're going to take a look for that, okay? Ah, Ms. Benda, please.
Thank you. I thought you had said there were two speakers. Can I get my 3 minutes, though? Ms. Booz?
Can we reset the clock, please, for Ms. Benda?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening. Tonight you have reorganized our Board of Trustees in preparation for a new year. This is a perfect time to rededicate yourselves to following your own board policies by respecting all district employees, certificated and classified, listening to your constituents, and above all, putting children first. This resolution states that as a CUSD board member, you, quote, understand and accept as your primary responsibility the goal of providing the opportunity for each student to develop his or her unique abilities to the highest possible level, and the welfare of students, therefore, shall be given first priority in any action taken as a board member, end quote. That can only happen with the best possible educational programs, which require the top-notch teachers, administrators, and support staff. It also includes having money to pay for these programs, which equates to fiscal responsibility and not paying for unnecessary lawyers and frivolous lawsuits. This resolution also states that your, quote, second responsibility is to support actively state and federal legislation, which preserves and promotes local control. This will better enable your decisions to reflect the desire of local school constituents within CUSD, end quote. This would mean that you should be supporting the proposed change in how we elect trustees, and the waiver would save the district a very significant amount of money. Many people have spoken publicly in favor of this waiver over the last couple of months. Hundreds, if not thousands, of postcards were sent to you over the last 2 weeks asking you to put the waiver on tonight's agenda. You've ignored every single person who has told you of their desire about this. Now, you may remember that last year, I mentioned to you that I had been a city council member down in San Diego County for 8 years. If I had not listened to my constituents and delivered on their desires, I would never have been reelected. You may want to consider that concept in your actions starting right now. This resolution also recognizes, quote, the need to support and promote the professionalism of all certificated and classified employees of the district, since the success of students is directly related to the quality of employee performance, end quote. As a board member, another of your responsibilities is, quote, consideration as an employer of the needs and concerns of employees, end quote. So far, your efforts in the negotiation process have been anything but that and have resulted in the lowest morale of CUSD teachers ever in the history of this district. That is not what is in the best interest of students. I hope you have read this resolution carefully and that you have every intention of following it starting tonight. We as parents, constituents, taxpayers, and concerned citizens have been watching for more than a year, and so far your actions do not demonstrate that you have any grasp of what this means. In the future, we all expect you, our Board of Trustees, to make decisions based upon providing the best educational opportunities for students within the guidelines of local and state and federal legislation. Thank you very much.
Do we have a motion? Trustee Adonizio, I know that. Did you make the motion, Trustee Adonizio?
Yes, I made a motion.
Thank you.
Trustee Lopez Maddox seconded it.
Trustee Lopez Maddox, you seconded it? Fine, thank you. Now we will have a roll call on this.
Or discussion by the board.
Is there any discussion? No, we are going to have a roll call. Thank you.
Student Advisor Sal Malakani.
Aye.
Trustee Adonizio.
Aye.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
President Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
7-0 vote. Thank you very much. Now we are on agenda item 13. And those are the minutes. Grant consent. Where's my wait. All right, we're on 34 now. Okay.
We're on 34.
Yeah, I got it right here. Thank you. And now we're on discussion action. Item 34.
Consent.
Oh, excuse me. You all will have to bear with me this evening. This is quite an evening for many, many reasons, and I'm sorry to be not perfectly skilled yet, but I hope you will be patient. The consent calendar. Is there any trustee who would like to pull an item?
Item 14.
14. Are there any other items to be pulled?
23 and 24.
Trustee Christensen, 23 and 24. Any other items to be pulled by trustees?
I am 13 and 22.
Trustee Lopez Maddox, 13 and 22. Was that? Are there any other items to be pulled by the trustees? All right. Thank you. May we have a motion to approve the rest of the consent calendar?
Second.
Thank you, Trustee Lopez Maddox. On items that weren't pulled. It's 34. Okay. Will the speakers please come forward for the consent items? All except the ones that weren't pulled. I don't see anything else here. I'm sorry. We're trying to find the correct pile here. Item number 16, and the individual is Aaron Kutnick, please. please. Item number 16.
Good evening, trustees. My name is Erin Kutnick. I'm a resident of San Juan Capistrano, mother of three, two Capistrano Valley High School graduates, and a junior at San Juan Hills High School. Item 16 is a waiver, and if you approve this item tonight, you will be approving a waiver that will allow students to pass the California High School Exit Exam with certain modifications. This will most likely be the difference between these students successfully graduating and fulfilling their full potential or not. So that's a good thing. But what about the election waiver, the waiver that thousands of parents and constituents have asked you about for months now? Where is that waiver that we asked to be put on the agenda tonight so that we could save $500,000 next year? Where's the fiscal accountability and the responsibility that you promised us before you were elected? You held the public hearing on the waiver issue before you ever even knew that there was going to be an election. And then you didn't even disclose or discuss the widespread support received by all the interested parties. Instead of revisiting that issue in October, you hired yet another attorney and added to the outrageous expenses, which are now at $85,000 and climbing. This is money which is being used to fight the will of your constituents and block local control, and it's coming directly out of the classroom and going into the pockets of attorneys. During that public hearing, Trustee Winston made it clear that he doesn't care about his constituents. But is that how all of you feel?
Madam President, can we stop the clock? Point of order.
Yes, Trustee Lopez Maddox.
I do believe that when a member of the public pulls an item to speak to an item on the agenda, they should direct their comments to the item on the agenda.
Comments that
are particular to items not on the agenda are appropriate for the public comments portion of the meeting, which occurs at the very beginning of the meeting.
Correct.
That is correct.
That being the case, I would ask the board president to remind those speaking to the items that they need to maintain their discussion to the point of that item in order to be in order and with board policy.
That is correct, and we did review that prior to this meeting. I would appreciate it if all speakers on items would limit their conversation and their commentary to the item.
I am addressing the item. I'm addressing a waiver that you are addressing one waiver without addressing all waivers, and that you are ignoring your constituents, and you are not fulfilling the responsibilities of your board, which is in direct conflict to the resolution that you just voted and passed.
If I'd like to point out that it's...
You just voted and passed a resolution on this item.
Madam President,
yes.
You are the chair of this committee. You're the one that has to determine
and maybe,
whether or not...
Then you should let me speak.
Excuse me, ma'am. You're out of order at the moment. Can you hold on for a second?
One moment.
I stopped the clock.
We need to have
some
the clock was stopped, so
I understand.
That's why I asked you to wait one moment.
But I could already be done and sitting down, and you could be moving forward.
One moment, please.
So that being the case, I would ask that there be a ruling from the chair as to the point of order being made, and if the point of order is sustained, that the speaker be directed to maintain her comment, to direct her comments to the item that she asked to speak on. That is the California High School Exit Exam. If she decides to speak on something else, she needs to submit a card at a different point in the meeting.
There actually, the card in front of me states Agenda Item 16, KC Waiver.
Waiver. I'm speaking about a waiver.
Ms. Kutnick did fill the card out to say KC Waiver. I hope that we have resolved
and my
everything.
Goes back to my original point that you were not listening to the constituents, that you did not put the waiver on the agenda as asked, and that that is in direct conflict to the resolution that you just passed.
Okay, Madam President,
and it's
the speaker
violation.
Is out of order. Again, I ask that there be a ruling made by the board president.
Thank you, Trustee Lopez Maddox. The point of order here is not to address anything except what is on your card. That is my request of everyone. What is on the card is KC Waiver specifically. And the clock, we will go back because
and
I
did address that, and
back.
I would have been done and sitting down had Trustee Maddox just given me 1 minute to speak.
We need the clock to go back to
I'm fine.
1 minute.
I have
30,
one paragraph.
If we can, please. And Ms. Kutnick, please wait 1 moment here until the clock goes to 1 minute 30 seconds, and then we will complete. I would ask that you please respect the trustees by sticking to the waiver subject, the KC waiver subject. 1 moment, because the clock has not gone back. Would you please remove? Thank you very much. Ms. Kutnick, please.
Just as a point of clarification, my point was is that you had a waiver on your item on your agenda, but you did not have the waiver that was requested on this agenda and has been requested for months by many constituents, including postcards and a personal email that I sent to Trustee Adonisio, which was completely ignored and unanswered.
Again,
and my point
Madam
is
President,
that goes back to the violation
again,
of your board.
Again, the speaker is out of order at the moment. She's been admonished repeatedly to stick to the topic she pulled the card to speak on.
Trustee Lopez Maddox, Ms. Kutnick, I have asked you three times to stay with the subject, and you did not wish to stay with the subject, so your time to speak is concluded. Thank you. Now we are going to discuss number 16, petition to waive California Education Code. And this is just a discussion item.
You don't need to discuss this.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. The next speaker will be item number 18, Judy Heidel, purchase orders, consulting agreements, etc. Ms. Heidel, thank you.
Good evening.
Thank you.
I'm here tonight to read my open line.
Thank you. You're on now. Thank you.
3 minutes.
Yes, would you please? Thank you very much.
Good evening. I'm here tonight to read an open letter to the CUSD Board of Trustees from concerned parents of CUSD. Why won't you make a decision that could save over $500,000 for our local schools? A parent-led initiative that would change how trustees are elected in CUSD has been put on the June 2010 ballot. This needed change that you promised during your campaign elections would saves USD approximately $200,000 in election costs every 2 years, provide more local control for the parents of CUSD, ensure that our vote counts for our trustees.
Again, Madam President, point of order.
I regret that since you are not addressing the subject, you will have to be
I have before me the attachment, the exhibit to this item, and the first payment on this is to the law offices of Philip Greer. Could you please tell me what he was paid for?
I regret that you are not here to question the Board of Trustees. Okay. You are to make your statement.
But this is a payment. This is a payment that you are approving.
Ms. Heidel,
okay.
You can address this with the rest of your time, and we'll be pleased to hear your concerns. Please.
You know what? The good news is that I don't really have to because the letter is available to everybody here and will be published
in
our local...
But you are not here to address the audience. You're here to address the board. I'm sorry. Please be seated. Thank you.
Item 18 wants
purchase order on warrants.
In order to make sure,
in order to assure that we do not repeat over and over, if you do not intend to address the item that you put on the blue card, it is better that you waive and not speak at this time. We have a vast amount of people yet to speak, people who need to be heard. So if you have indicated warrants on your card, I will expect you to speak directly to warrants, or I will have to ask you to be seated. All right. Kathy Wade, please. Item number 18.
Can you hear me?
No. You're fine.
I have no idea. Oh, here we go. All right. Tonight you are planning to approve $822,000 in expenditures before you're to talk about upcoming budget cuts. What I'd like to call your attention to is in Exhibit A for warrants, The $50,000 that is an amendment to increase the original contract dollar amount to provide further service, and this is Loose Forward Hamilton and Scripps. It's additional funds to fight Woodrow Carter. And what I'd like to call your attention to is it concerns me that this brings the total amount spent in the dismissal of Woodrow Carter to in excess of $264,000, and it's not yet done. And this is money that comes right out of the classroom. We're struggling to get paper for our classrooms, erasers, sanitizer, everything. $264,000 would go quite a long way. In addition, there is the $25,000 that is being pulled from the general fund to pay Attorney Philip Greer to fight the Orange County Committee September 10th decision. And my request is that you reconsider these types of expenditures because the budget situation is already so dire. Thank you.
Thank you. That's not on the list. Sherry Saladon, is that correct?
Saladon.
And she will speak to item number 19, and her topic is donations.
As a past PTA council president, I am a resident of Laguna Niguel. I have two daughters who have graduated from CUSD schools, and I am a proud parent of CUSD graduates. As a past PTA council president, I was appalled to read on the Red County blog one of our trustees' comments about how PTA should stick to bake sales. Tonight, CUSD trustees are accepting $331,000 in donations and grants, of which $280,000 comes from PTAs, boosters, or other parent-supported education. And yet, as I mentioned, one of our trustees has made a public derogatory comment about the local PTAs. Listed are just a few PTAs items donated that you're accepting this month alone. Arroyo Vista, $15,000 primary music. Barcelona Hills, $1,438 for art masters. Castile, $451 for supplies. Moulton Elementary, $20,000 primary music. And the list goes on and on and on. I highly suggest that this board, with the exception of Trustee Brick, who is a former PTA president, Google the history of PTA and read about this wonderful organization that is dedicated to children. Thank you.
Thank you. Item number 20, Kaylani Conroy will speak to legal services in item number 20.
Mr. Lopez Maddox, am I allowed to congratulate Mrs. Bison for president? Last year I got to speak after they voted, and I had asked, I suggested that you become president, so congratulations. And thank you, Mrs. Adonisio, for taking care of the porta potties. Item 20 includes retaining 11 attorney firms for the upcoming year. 11. That's more than I can count on two hands. This seems like an excessive amount of law firms, even for this board. A recent records request has revealed that over $2.3 million on legal fees incurred by this board, and that doesn't even include November and December. Is this really the best use for our money? Whatever happened to hiring a staff attorney to handle most of this? That would have probably saved us close to $1 million in the past 18 months. And why isn't that being considered now? We don't have another $2 million to spend on attorneys in the next year. You guys keep saying we're in a severe budget crisis. I'm feeling it. And we need to cut back on our spending, not increase it. Atkinson, Anderson, Loya, Rudd, $402,000. Best, Best, and Krieger, $367,000. Carolyn Zuck, $268,000. Straddling Yoka, Carlson, Roth, $110,000. Loose Forward, $62,000. Possibly 264 total. Bowie, Arson, and Wiles, blah, 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 $599,000. Rattan and Tucker, $254,000. Total, $834. I think the money needs to be used in the classroom. I'm begging you guys. I've got kids that would benefit from that. And I just, on a personal note, if you could please let Jennifer Beal know that Trudy Podobas has done more for this entire school district free than she will ever do for the money that she received from their settlement. Thank you.
Thank you. We're on item number 22, and we have Speaker Pete Espinoza. He will speak on downgrading consulting services.
It's not demographic.
Oh, that is correct. That's right. Ken, Trustee Lopez, we will come back to this because it is one of the ones that the trustee pulled. Thank you so much, Mr. Espinoza.
Thank you very much, Madam President. I'd like to lay the item on the table.
Yes, Trustee Lopez Maddox. No, we have one more speaker as well. No, this is for item number 30.
Hold on a second. I'd like to go ahead and withdraw my motion.
Thank you, Lopez Maddox. Trustee Lopez Maddox. We do have Chris Corpy. Thank you. Item number 30, and this is the interim consulting and PR firm.
That's correct. I'm here to speak one last time this evening on the interim consulting item that's on your agenda and the PR firm that you're thinking of hiring. So all of my comments will be directly intended regarding public relations. Again, I'm with Children First, CapitalUnifiedChildrenFirst.org. This board is in great need of help with your public image, and you can save a lot of money to be spent on a PR firm by taking a few free suggestions. First, Trustee Winston, when asked after voting about your constituents, don't respond with "what about them." Acting Superintendent Mahler, when you're speaking to your employees, don't be condescending and read to them from a first grade book. That was a really bad read of your audience. You violated the Brown Act by polling your members. Everybody knows it. That's very bad public relations. And Trustee Mahler, don't use school loop to communicate with parents. That was also a really bad move. Three more points. Trustee Maddox shouldn't blog on the PTA about their bake sale. Didn't go over very well. And if you want to rebuild the trust, you need to bring this waiver back, and you still have time to do it. You can call a special meeting between now and the first week of January. There's going to be full-page ads in the paper coming out the end of this week to point this out. There's advertising all over the cable calling you out, basically saying you promised to support this change in the way we let trustees.
I would appreciate it if
last item, on the item of the PR consultant.
Thank you.
I have been a PR consultant and an advisor to elected bodies, all of them Republican, by the way. And I'd like to give you a suggested slogan for this board, and I will give it to you for free. Follow the Ed Code, not the Ed Alliance. This will help you regain your trust and keep you from breaking further promises in state law.
Thank you. That concludes the speaking portion from our audience, and now we will open up the polled items to the trustees, starting with item number 13 and Trustee Lopez Maddox. We need to approve the whole consent calendar with the exception of items 13, 14, 22, 23, and 24. Is there a motion, please?
So moved.
Trustee Lopez Maddox, thank you, has moved. Trustee Adonizio has seconded. And may we have a voice vote? Yeah. All in favor?
No.
Roll call. All right, here we go.
Student Advisor Saul Malakani?
Nay.
Trustee Adonizio?
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
President Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Thank you. I think we had a 6-1 vote. 7-0? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear them. Thank you. 7-0. I thought there was a dissenting some. Thank you. Yes, some. Thank you. Now we're going to start once again with item number 13, pulled by Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Thank you, Madam President. I request the board's indulgence with one minor change in the minutes. If you look to the second page, which is number page 30, first bullet, following the people address the board, I would like to strike the word there and insert what she considers. The first bullet, the following people address the board. I'd like to strike there and insert what she considers.
Okay.
And with that change, I'll move the item.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Thank you. 7-0. Trustee Adonizio has pulled item number 14.
Item number 14, once again, I'm requesting two meetings a month, one regular meeting, one special board meeting in light of the enormous workload and issues confronting us. I believe we can accomplish more with two meetings a month. That's my motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Trustee Palazzo has seconded Trustee Adonizio's motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Nay.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Student Advisor Saul Malakani?
Aye.
Trustee Adonizio?
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
President Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Nay.
Trustee Lopez Maddox?
Nay.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Nay.
4-3. It passes.
Apparently this passes 4-3 for one regular board meeting and one special meeting a month due to the workload that we have coming on the budget and everything else. I think that at this time this is appropriate, and we may revisit this later as things are moved along more quickly. Thank you. I know it's hard on everyone, but there is a great deal coming right now. One regular board meeting with one additional meeting.
Special meeting. That was the motion.
Correct. And now we have Trustee Lopez Maddox, who will address item number 22, which he pulled.
Very good. I'd like to lay the item on the table.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, it is passed 7-0.
I put 23 on the table and I'll just have a discussion.
And we do have, not on this item, though. I don't see it.
No, I believe items laid on the table that are open for debate or discussion.
This item does not have a discussion action. other than the vote of the trustees, as I say.
There are no cards.
No, not for this item. There are no cards. The next card would be agenda item 34.
Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Espinoza, please come back.
Thank you. The item 22, agenda item, is a start but falls short. To begin, a demographic study needs to be approved and linked to the waiver and the new method of voting by trustee area. And Trustee Brick, this is something that's tied together. What I'd like to have talked to you about this early this week.
Excuse me, Dr. Espinoza, can I just ask you to hold on for a second for a point of parliamentary procedure?
Trustee Lopez Maddox, what is your point of procedure, please?
I believe on items laid on the table that are not subject to debate or discussion.
Non-debatable.
Items been moved and seconded and voted upon.
Actually, I believe we are supposed to. It was tabled. It was tabled. That was your first request, as I recall, Trustee Lopez Maddox, was to table it. Therefore, there will regrettably not be a speaker. At the further meetings, I hope you are able to address your concerns. Yes, we did.
We did not vote on the item. We voted to table the item.
It was a vote, yes, to table the item, and that was the first issue that Trustee Lopez Maddox brought forward. One moment, please.
Yes, we voted.
He tabled.
Voted on the table.
He tabled.
When you vote on the if you vote.
Correct.
What is being contended is that if you vote...
Before the vote, we have to hear him speak.
Then before your vote...
You have to have the speaker.
You have to have the speaker.
Correct. I think that may be correct on that. I don't think you can table it when you have a speaker who's already been recognized.
No, I don't know.
All right. Since we, at this moment, there is some uncertainty on this issue of parliamentary procedure, we are going to allow I would appreciate it if no one would assume anything about what I'm going to say before I say it. Mr. Espinoza,
thank you.
Would you please address your concerns at this
thank
time?
You. So, well, I'll probably be returning since it's going to come back up. I'll be glad to return. But just to give that intro to my concern, demographics are important to all of us, obviously. And Jack, I was going to talk about our trustee area. And just an example of why it's significant, trustee area and connection and trust and timing and why the waiver is important, linked with a demographic study that's really linked to statistics and students we serve. In your area where I live and we both reside, Arch Dana, 70% Latino, 52% English learners, 9% disabilities, and 68% social economic disadvantage. Then we look at Las Palmas is right down the street from where I live, 20% Latino, different needs, 12% English learning, less, 11% disabilities, still it's solid with continuity, and 24% social economic disadvantage. But the point is this, is that the needs of these students need to be part of a demographic study that's tied with the trustee area, so in terms of accountability, and the trust begins with our trustee area. The 51 school sites, big challenge, biggest, no longer best, focus, accountability, concentration, and that's with my comment to you because we are in the same area. And again, I would encourage Trustee Palazzo and Trustee Brick to raise the issue of a waiver again with the courage again with Sam. It's a legitimate issue, and demographics I'd be willing to come back and speak more to, even more directly.
Thank you, and thank you for your patience, Mr. Espinoza. We have to go back. And now we will go to item number 23, which was pulled by Trustee Larry Christensen.
This item relates to the horse trail that's been in existence for quite some time around the Ambule Elementary School, and I do agree that we should continue to allow that use, the equestrian utilization throughout Orange County has been disappearing all the time, and it's a trail that a lot of people like to use. However, the license to use agreement, I think, is missing a specific item. On the number five, where it's the indemnity from the city, it indemnifies the district for any damage caused to any portion of the property. We do own the property. I would like to have a little bit more legalese put in there, is that the district should be indemnified for any injuries that can occur on that specific thing. I mean, horses are fairly dangerous. And since we own the property, this does not show where we would be indemnified by the city for injuries in that case. And so I think that should be added to it.
We'll go back and review it again with legal counsel.
All right, thank you.
I'd like to just point out, I think Trustee Christensen's concern might be covered in subparagraph 5.2. I am a lawyer, and I guess I don't play one on TV, but that language is broad enough to relate to use of the subject property. I think the question for our legal counsel is whether the coverage of the word invitees covers users of the trail, whether pedestrians, equestrians, or otherwise. When I read it, I assumed invitees covered the people you're concerned about, but let's be sure.
We'll be happy to do that, and we'll bring it back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And now we will have a motion. Is there anyone to move this item or to table it?
I would like to move to continue this until we find out.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It has been moved by Trustee Christensen and seconded by Trustee Lopez Maddox that we are going to continue this item. Thank you.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Nay. No, I'm just teasing. All right, we're going to go to item number 24. I only regret, Alan, as I look back, that there was no camera to film your first night up here. So this is going to go down in infamy or in history, which I'm not sure. All right. So now we are on item number 24, which was also pulled by Trustee Larry Christensen.
This is pulled for essentially the same reason, and perhaps as Mr. Winchin mentioned, that it may be covered. It's just that there could be a lot of liability on both of these issues, so same issue.
We'll double check.
Would you move to table, please?
Yes, I'd
continue.
To continue.
Yeah, I'm all set.
It was moved by Trustee Christensen and seconded by Trustee Lopez Maddox to table this item or to continue the item.
All in favor?
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ellen, you're getting to be quite the echo here.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's all right. It's moving things along, and I'm sure the audience appreciates it. All right.
Well, we have more public comment. We have public comment on 34,
35. Yeah. Okay. Item number 34 is a public hearing. Yep. Okay. This is a public hearing for categorical flexibility transfers, agenda item number 34. The public hearing is now open regarding the approval of Resolution 0910-38, 2009-10, use of categorical flexibility funds. Clerk, have we any written comments?
No, we do not.
Trustee Christensen indicates that we do not. Is there anyone who wishes to address the board at this time on this issue? I have no speakers, and I have no... This is 34. All right, we do have Karen Schnell to speak to categorical funding, item number 34. Thank you, Karen.
You're welcome. Good evening. It's been a long evening. Hello, my name is Karen Schnell, and I live in Dana Point. I am currently president of Dana Point Coastal Arts. I'm on the advisory board of the South Orange County School of the Arts Foundation, and I serve as the chair of the John Wayne Airport Arts Commission. Both of my children went through Capistrano Unified School District and had the opportunity to receive a whole education, including the arts. They both were part of the Black Music Program in their elementary school, which at that time was offered in K through 6 grades. Austin Buffum was the music coordinator at the time. My daughter continues to play music with her marketing degree, and my son is currently at Laguna College of Art and Design, majoring in graphic design. I'm here this evening to thank the board for the continuing support of the arts. Wasn't the evening's performance of the San Juan Hills High School a treat for all of us? Capistrano Unified School District, I'm here though to address, has received the Arts and Music Block Grant funding for the past 3 years. From what I could see in the budget, and that it's allocated at about $618,000 currently. Several years ago in 2007, the school district worked to develop a strategic plan in the arts for all the students in the district. This plan recognizes that the arts are essential to a world-class K through 12 balanced comprehensive education for all students. Understandably, there have been some speed bumps along the way, and CUSD has one of the strongest arts programs and curriculum in place in the state, as evident by the current listing of all the music concerts just in December alone. I realize that the Arts and Music Block Grant is part of the categorical flexibility funds and is being proposed to put in the general fund. Again, I mentioned I think there's $618,000 from the state. This money has already come to the district for music and arts programs. I would therefore like to propose that you not eliminate the Black music program at the elementary level. We know the budget is tight, but please keep it in the program. Thank you
very much. And now that there are no more speakers to this item, I declare the public hearing closed as president-elect and ask for a motion and second. Do I hear a motion on this item?
Keeping in mind that we're going to have to review the budget later on this year and make decisions with regard to how we appropriate those dollars, I don't believe there's anybody opposed to categorical flexibility. So I'm going to go ahead and move the item.
Trustee Lopez-Maddox has moved the item. Is there a second?
Second.
Trustee Brick has seconded it. A roll call vote is required. Jane, please.
Student Advisor Sal Malakani.
Aye.
Trustee Brick?
Aye.
Trustee Bryson?
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo?
Aye.
Trustee Christensen?
Aye.
Trustee Maddox?
Aye.
Trustee Winston?
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio?
Aye.
I'd like to thank everyone for their goodwill and good humor concerning my becoming president this evening. I think you all have been very, very kind, and I appreciate that.
President.
Mr. Lepps, thank you so much. Now that the screen is ready.
Well, now that screen's ready, but the computer screen's blank. Hold on.
Yep. Yep.
One more.
Well, we'll give you a minute here to reboot.
There we go.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Madam President, members of the board, Dr. Mahler, this evening we have before us the first interim report, which covers the period of time between July and the end of October. And what we'd like to do is we have a very, very short discussion on this. Wanted to just kind of bring you up to speed on where we are. Christopher Pittman's going to present the numbers related to the report, but a couple of things I wanted to point out before we get into that. With this report that we're bringing forward to you, we're recommending that the board approve this with a qualified certification. And what that means is that given the current outlook that we have as we project into the future years, not our current year, but our future years, and keep in mind that the interim report is on the current year, that we don't believe we can meet our financial obligations. We have a budget hole of approximately $21.5 million. We're going to review that in a minute, go over that with you. And without being able to identify specifically how to close that gap, we will be asking you to file a qualified interim report with the Department of Education, the Orange County Department of Education. There are other districts along with us that are sharing the same pain and burden as they wrestle with their budgets as well. I think you'll see quite a number of districts throughout the state in this particular position as they adopt their interim reports as well. Simply what that means is that looking out to the two fiscal years, we need to identify additional cuts. By filing a qualified report, what that does is we come under additional accountability and review from the County Office of Education, and that we can come out from underneath that oversight once we're able to show a positive certification. A couple of things you need to keep in mind as we go through this information tonight. These were kind of like the things that are on the radar that we don't want to drop off, is that there's a special education disproportionality issue related to our maintenance of effort that we're still trying to work on. That could mean an issue of up to $3 million in our federal funding, so we're working on that. There are currently 6.5 FTE counselors that are in the budget that are categorically funded, that funding will drop off for next year. We are projecting in our figures a COLA of 0.5 for 10-11 and a cost of living increase in 11-12 of 2.3%, which brings me to the last point, is we don't know what's going to happen when the governor releases his budget proposal. And those assumptions could erode very quickly. So I just wanted to point out that there are assumptions that the interim report and the forecast is based on that could change. So here's the important dates as we look out over the next several months. January 8th, I believe, is Friday the 8th. The governor's budget is due. We have a board meeting on January 12th. We'll be able to give you some probably brief information related to that release. We hope to deliver to you there our budget planning calendar for the year, as well as guidelines and assumptions that we'll be using to develop our budget. We'll be attending the school services workshop on January 13th, which is when we really get the nitty-gritty on the budget that the governor has proposed. And then our following board meeting on February 9th, we'll be giving you more of a full update. With that, I'm going to turn it back over to Chris, and let me see if I can bring up the spreadsheet. Which is this one here, right?
Okay. Madam President, trustees, as Ron mentioned, the first interim budget covers a period of July 1 through October 31st of each year. And the last time that you saw this budget was the revised budget in September of this year. There have been some considerable changes since then, but in an effort to distill down the approximately 125-page SACS report to one spreadsheet that's a talking point, we've created in budget this one-page Excel document that details where we were in June, where we were in September the last time you saw it, But the first interim, which is the third column on the spreadsheet there, the changes therein since the revised final, and then off to the right, which we'll get to, the multi-year projection for the 10-11 school year and the 11-12 school year. But just to walk you through the significant changes that have been made since the revised final, which at that point we'd had an ending fund balance of approximately $8.5 million. For the first interim budget, we are looking at an ending balance for the 2009-10 fiscal year of approximately $10.3 million. And some of the important changes that have been made to the budget from revised final, we captured approximately $3.1 million in new special ed funding, which was a component of ARA and some additional funding, about $930,000 of CSR additional funding, and approximately $1.2 million of gift donations that we have classified out to the sites that we've been able to classify as revenue at this point. Some of the expenditure changes since the revised final, approximately $4 million in new counselors, EIA Title I certificated staffing that we've been able to put in the classroom. We've also have about $650,000 of additional benefits that correspond to the changes in classified and certificated staffing. You'll notice about $1.8 million has come out of the books and supply area. That has actually moved back into salaries because as we have carryover for the fiscal year and when we begin the fiscal year, we don't necessarily know where some of the carryover money from grants and that sort of thing will end up, so we place it into books and supplies, and then we transfer it out and move it out as the fiscal year progresses. We have an additional $282,000 cost for special education, and the last big number there is $850,000, which incorporates the transfer of $500,000 to ROP and some additional special ed tuition. So when that all shakes out after we have our 2% reserve amount, which is $7.7 million, we're looking at a change to the ending fund balance of approximately $1.9 million. So that amount will actually help us in the out years to carry forward. So when you look at the 10-11 columns, which Ron will get over to, we have a 2% reserve in the 10-11 year of approximately $7.3 million, I should say, that we need to calculate into our budget. But we're also forecasting that we're going to need to identify budget cuts of approximately $21.5 million, which Ron will address in just a few moments. And we will also, in the 11-12 fiscal year, be looking at an additional $3.7 million worth of unidentified cuts at that point. And we'll also need to maintain about a $7.5 million 2% reserve.
That's budget review on one sheet. So let me go to the other one. Any questions on that sheet before we move on?
Mr. Lebs, do we have this sheet? Did you provide this sheet to us?
I believe I did. There's a slight update to this.
Okay. This was in the agenda?
I believe it was.
Okay, but it's changed since
it was posted. It was posted on this one particular attachment. We posted on the web and sent that notification to you.
Okay. Are there any other comments by trustees? Trustee Brick.
Mr. Labs, I read in the paper the other day that there's a new director of finance in Sacramento. What do we know about this gentleman in dealing with state entities like us? Do we know anything at all? My understanding was also a staffer for a while, so he's not new to the Sacramento Bee.
I have no comment on that.
We don't know what we're dealing with.
I didn't say that.
if I might.
I don't know enough about the situation to comment on it.
But she was Deputy Secretary of Finance to Mr. Janast before he retired.
Yeah. Are there any other comments by trustees? I would like to thank you very much, Mr. Labs. Are you
more.
Still going to be presenting next part two?
Yeah, I'm trying to bring up the next spreadsheet. Well, what I'm trying to do is get everything on the sheet and... This particular spreadsheet we have reviewed with the trustees and with the public on several occasions in the past, and what I wanted to do, and I don't plan to read through all of this, but what I wanted to show is the area there that has the green header is what changes we have incorporated into the budget from the $25.1 million that we had initially identified that we needed to resolve for 10-11. As you look at that, you can see a number of things have taken place. We've talked about some of them in the past. We've worked that number down now to $21.5 million. So as we look to 10-11, that's the target we're hitting, is $21.5. Those are the items above the gray bar. The items below the gray bar are the things that have appeared on this list for quite some time, and those would require board action in order to move them up above the line and incorporate them into the budget. I think it should be pointed out that even if the board were to direct staff to incorporate those into the budget, we still have a qualified budget. Whether we're short $100 for 10-11 or 21.5, we still have a qualified budget. So we understand that we have a lot of work to do. We have a significant amount of time throughout the spring to continue to work on this, and the target has been established. And I fully expect that when we get the governor's January budget proposal, that these numbers will all change, and I don't mean to be the bringer of bad information or gloom, but all indication is that next fiscal year is going to look is going to look worse than this fiscal year. So, with that, we'll turn this back over to the board for any questions, and then ask if you could approve our first interim report.
Thank you, Mr. Lapps. I do have a comment, but I will put that aside until all trustees have had an opportunity to ask their questions or make their comments on the interim report. Are there any other comments?
Yeah. I have a question.
Trustee Christensen.
There was a trial balloon put out by the legislature yesterday in regards to what's going to come down in January, and I think they're just trying to let people down easy that the state budget cuts are going to be much greater than they anticipated. I think it came out last month that this year's budget was based upon the projections of that they were getting the same amount of income in taxes from last year, which is actually kind of ludicrous that they would even do something like that. And that's why they're borrowing from all of the taxpayers by taking more out of their paycheck each month just to get some more money at this point. It's probably a great likelihood that this $25 million shortfall is going to be easily $35 million. And it's unfortunate that we're going through this great effort of putting down extremely hard numbers and a detailed analysis as to creating a budget that we have to do when the state is just throwing darts at a dartboard, and they're just bogus numbers, essentially. But I think the only thing that we can count on is this going to be worse than the $25 million. Last month, it was indicated to us that if we could utilize everything that we are allowed to cut, anything that's not mandated, which includes every single program that's in the school district, we can't meet the budget. And so therefore, there's going to be a qualified budget. So therefore, we're presented again with something that's the best that staff can put together at this point. What is the ramifications if we don't approve this and send this in? I mean, what happens at that point? Or are we, again, forced to say, here's our budget?
Well, I want you to keep in mind that what you're approving this evening is our first interim financial report. You're not approving a budget. But the interim report includes a forecast into the future years. And what we've been asked to do is for those future years is no longer just identify the number, but to identify how the budget will look. So I would encourage you strongly to approve your budget, approve the first interim report. I don't see any way around it. I would assume, I'm not that familiar with what happens if you don't approve it, but if you don't, I would imagine that you would be imposed a qualified first interim report by the County Office of Education, and we probably have quite a few questions to begin answering.
Okay. I was just wondering if other school districts may kind of go the same line.
Well, I think you're going to see a number of school districts adopt a qualified budget, and I think it is in our, excuse me, a qualified first interim report. And I think it's in our best interest to self-qualify, which then the board acknowledges the challenge that's there, and it sets us up in a position to work proactively with the county office as opposed to being disciplined into.
And then in January, let's find out, let's say we find out there's another $5 or $10 or $15 million that have to be cut. What happens at that point as far as us being qualified?
Well, our next reporting period is in March, and we do the second interim report in March, and so that would be then those trying to think if we incorporate until we have a budget projection for what it's going to be like in 10-11. I guess we would be going off the governor's January budget. I don't know. Are we going to incorporate that into that second interim at that point?
We can.
What usually happens is the county office issues kind of direction parameters, assumptions as to how to deal with the governor's budget at that point.
Okay.
So, I've used this word so many times. We have an immense amount of ambiguity in our future.
Okay, thank you.
Trustee Winston, I believe, and then Trustee Maddox. Lopez Maddox.
Thank you. Trustee Christensen's questions kind of hit on mine. I was going to ask the difference between this year and last year. Last year, a qualified budget would have been a more unusual event or qualified interim report.
Mm-hmm.
This year, it's going to be fairly standard for school districts around the state to be submitting self-qualified interim reports, right?
That is correct. And there are a number of districts here in Orange County that we follow filing qualified interim reports.
Right. A neighbor's at Saddleback among them who did it last week.
Irvine.
Are there others?
Irvine.
There are. I've just heard of districts. I wouldn't want to commit to public, commit in the public in case I made a mistake.
In some years, self-qualification or qualification has a taint to it. This year, not qualifying yourself would be a detachment from reality. That there's no rationale, I think, for us to not self-qualify at this point. It would make Mr. Lebs and his staff's job that much harder. We don't need to do that. And the money's just not there. And it's the right way to go right now. None of this is permanent and final until we get to May or June. So it's just a matter of projecting and accepting the financial and budgetary realities, and OCDE will probably receive it and say thank you and put it in the pile with the other 25 that they're going to get on this go-around. My view on it is it's distasteful, but it's necessary, and there's not much we can responsibly do about it at this point, unfortunately. Thank you. And thank you, Mr.
Trustee Lopez Maddox, please.
I'd just like to move staff recommendation.
I would like to make a comment, which I mentioned earlier before, and also before we have a motion, we have speakers, so we will have to address the speakers.
Can I make a comment real quick?
Yes.
I was wondering if for this, since it's not a budget report, it's not set in stone necessarily. It's just a forecast. Am I correct?
Well, it is. It's a report of what has taken place since from July through October. That's what the first interim report is reporting. But included within that is we have to project our forecast for 10-11. And to kind of follow up with Trustee Winston, he is correct that as we go through the spring, this is all going to change, and we'll be working on developing our budget and packaging that up, and there will be discussion. discussions on cuts and reductions and a variety of things as we move forward. There's lots of parts are in motion, and there's lots of work yet to do. Where we really back up into a wall is if we are unable to present a budget for adoption in June that shows fiscal solvency for the current, which will be 10-11, and the two subsequent years at that point. But I have confidence that we'll be able to make it and get it taken care of by then.
I do have a few comments and questions, if I may, Mr. Leps. First of all, that last question is something that I'm asked often. People would like to understand exactly the meaning of the word budget, and I liken it to a roadmap. You intend to go to Yosemite, you've got the map, you're on your way, and you encounter on the way an avalanche. So the fact that you have the roadmap does not preclude things occurring with that document, and that's exactly the same with a budget. It is a financial roadmap where you think you're going to go with any, either a family or a district or a country. It does not mean that it has to be that way when you encounter those avalanches, the problems, the floods, or whatever else you might encounter. In other words, if there is less money in the state, what we've budgeted is definitely going to have to be readjusted. I have mentioned before in the last round of talks I had with people from Sacramento, and I will be in Sacramento on Friday, once again, listening and speaking to people on these issues. At that time, I was told quite candidly, not only would there be qualified reports, but there would be many districts that would go into bankruptcy. One of the imperatives of this fiscally conservative Board of Trustees is to prevent, absolutely to prevent this district from heading into that type of situation. And we must maintain our 2%. We have to maintain our equanimity as we review every number so well laid out by Mr. Leps, and we need to be very sure that we never, ever go down a road which would lead to insolvency in this district. 2% is a very tiny, tiny little margin, and Mr. Leps and I have discussed that frequently, and it is imperative. We have had people state to me personally that we should be able to raid the 2%. Actually, that's not an option, in my opinion, and I would be amazed if it were an option in the consideration of any seated trustee at this point. So Mr. Leps has a severely difficult and taxing job to do. Superintendent Mahler is doing everything she can, and we are going to do everything we can to make sure that we sail calmly through these waters. There will be shipwrecks, and there will be districts that won't survive that journey without being taken over. So keep in mind that these are the considerations that we all have to remember. Thank you very much. And now we will have, before we vote, three speakers. Kim Anderson, please. We'll speak.
I'm pausing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Junielle Worthington. We'll speak to item number 35, the budget.
I'm Janelle Worthington, and I want to say that I was here in line before 5 o'clock. I was one of the first 20 people to sign in to speak. I did come in under oral communications, and somehow I got blown off. And I think I was here before some of the people that did speak. But I try to be creative. I used to be a school teacher, and so I can make this talk about the budget, Mr. Lopez. Anyway, I am a concerned taxpayer who lives in San Clemente, and I ask you to please be more frugal with our money. Since you, the recall board, have taken control of the board, I've seen our taxes on school budgets being wasted on such things as unnecessary recall elections, special and extra board meetings around $2,000 each, expensive dinners for the board, I recall $300 one time, that's right, attorney's fees, lawsuits, including the one by Trustee Winston, the superintendent's dismissal, and his replacement research. All lot of things I feel that just coming out of our budget that you could be more frugal with. Now, for our budget dollars, you now have an opportunity to be frugal with our taxes and maintain your campaign promises to your those people that voted for you, expecting certain things. Please put the request for an election waiver of the June 8, 2010 election, which is another needless election that the taxpayers will need to be paying for. Put that back on your agenda and then vote for the waiver request to save those tax dollars that will be spent on the election and the attorney fees that you're using to try to stop the election from going forth. Also, just as a small thing, to save more dollars, especially those dinner dollars, why not start bringing a brown bag lunch to your special meetings like the kids do bring to school for their lunches. Main thing is, in the budget, preserve our tax dollars for the important items like the education of our children. Thank you.
Thank you. Lisa Sharman was... Thank you, Lisa. That concludes our speakers on item number 35. Do we have a motion? Staff recommendation has been moved by Trustee Lopez Maddox. Do we have a second? Trustee Brick has moved and seconded. All in favor? A roll call vote on the budget. Excuse me.
Student Advisor Sam Alakani.
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio.
Aye.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
President Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
And that's a 7-0 vote, Jane. Yes. Thank you. Item number 36.
Good evening, President Bryson.
Good evening.
Members of the board, Superintendent Mahler. I have three agenda items to bring forward to you this evening. The first is a second reading of the Education Division Reorganization Plan. And there are a number of people who worked on this plan to try to put on one piece of paper or two pieces of paper what the Ed Division now looks like after several years of cutbacks and changes in the way we're doing business. In summary, you had asked us to let you see how many of the positions that are remaining are categorically funded. And what we gave you was the same chart with little C's next to all the positions that are categorically funded. In total, there are 30 positions that are categorically funded out of the 50 that are remaining. There are another three positions that are partially categorically funded, and only 19 that are being paid for out of the general fund of the entire educational division. Of the 30 that are categorical, that also includes the early childhood program and the language assessment center, and there are 10 positions wrapped up in those special programs. So that is what we have left. And there are a few positions on the chart that we are looking still to fill, one of them being, as we described last time, the Assistant Superintendent of Education. We are assuming that that position would be filled once the new superintendent is put in place. And then that's going to cause a little bit of shifting in the organization again, in that the position that I am currently serving as an interim in will become an executive director position, and we will have lost or have removed all of the assistant superintendents in the Ed Division except for the one that will oversee and replace those with executive directors. That was an effort to flatten the organization. When the assistant superintendent is hired, then the executive secretary that is currently working with my office will work for the assistant superintendent and we'll need to hire another senior staff secretary in that position. So there are a few more details, but I really would like to defer to any specific questions that you have at this time.
I can move staff recommendation.
It has been moved by Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Second.
Seconded by Trustee Adonizio.
I assume we don't have any blue cards.
No, we have no blue cards.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, 7-0. Thank you.
There it is. The second agenda item this evening is on the academic intervention course that has been piloted in all of our high schools through last school year and partially into this school year. And we wanted to show you what the results of that program have been. This is an online course for kids to participate in. They take the course as an elective class, but while they are enrolled in the class, they're actually redoing curriculum and courses that they have previously failed so that they can make up credits that they have lost. And I'm going to go forward. Okay. We became concerned about the numbers of students who were leaving Capistrano Unified School District to the county program of access. In 2006-07, there were 566 students who had gone to access, and the numbers as the district was growing continued to climb in 2007-08 to 624 students that were leaving our district with their ADA and going to access. These are in an effort to give these students different kinds of options for making up credits as opposed to going to access. We implemented a pilot of this program, and this is the number of students who were enrolled at each high school in the program. In total, there were 230 students who participated in the pilot program. And those 230 students in the subject areas were able to recuperate credits in 515 courses. So it's a little more than two classes per student that participated. Some did three or so, and some did one, but you know, the average was about two classes per student participating. And as a result, at the end of the pilot program, we went back to look at our referrals to access. And in 2008-09, the referrals dropped to 474 from 624. That was in the first pilot year. And currently this year, we're looking at the numbers of referrals just from August to November to look at the comparative numbers. Even though our numbers dropped last year, we're still holding at more than 100 fewer referrals in a short period of time this year with the program that we have in place. As we're retaining these students, we would like to expand the program for second semester and add one more section on each high school campus to serve another 230 or so students in hopes of continuing to drop the number of students who are leaving Capistrano Unified to go to access. There are a number of other layers that we are working on with the administrators and the APs of guidance to change the culture and to sort of close the door of students exiting our school district because clearly it has lost ADA, but we also believe more importantly that Capistrano Unified School District provides a much better program for these kids in their home schools with all of the pluses of just being in your home school with your friends and in your community. So lots of good reasons for doing this. So we're asking for your approval of an expansion of the credit recovery academic intervention class. The funds for it for this year, while we're looking to see if we're actually going to save some ADA on this, are coming out of some unencumbered SIP library funds to pay for the licenses that we'll need and to expand the program. So there's no impact on general fund for right now, and then we'll have to relook at it if we see if we're saving a bunch of money for next year.
I so move.
Second.
It's been moved by Trustee Palazzo and seconded by Trustee Adonisio to move staff recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Unanimous.
Well done on your report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the last item I have to bring forward to you this evening is I'm going to ask Jolene Doherty if she would come forward to see if you have questions about the consideration and approval or denial of the Global Tides Charter School.
Just kind of tell you, there are a lot of questions of staff on this one?
Yes, there
are. Well, we got some cards? Okay. We'll go ahead and...
We have two cards, Mr. Lopez Maddox.
Let's see what we got here. Okay, on this item, we have a card from Jerry Ditto, if I pronounced the name correctly. Okay, we don't see Jerry Ditto here. We have another one here from Kathy Van Eiken. Okay, also seeing no one in the audience, we'll go ahead and close public comments.
I'm willing to move. May I move this before her presentation? Because I agree. Okay. I so move.
Okay, we have a motion to move staff recommendation. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, seconded by Trustee Adonisio.
And so the motion is to accept staff recommendation to reject the petition.
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, then done.
I have a quick question if I can ask.
Yes, Trustee Winston, and thank you, Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Ms. Doherty, I've been reading some of the noise in the media about this company, Global Tides, about submitting applications in every district in the state and most of them being rejected, including some of our neighbors. Have they been accepted anywhere to date? Do you know?
They have submitted 91 across the state, and as far as I've been told, none have been approved as of yet.
Okay. I suggest we make it unanimous.
Trustee Winston. And is there a motion on the floor?
We have a, it's been moved and seconded.
Thank you. We will vote at this time. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We've accepted that. Thank you very much, staff. Yes. We will have a speaker prior to our vote, and that will be Molly Gerritsen. On analysis of academic progress. Yes.
Are you calling?
Please. Oh, please continue. Thank you.
Madam President, trustees, Superintendent Mahler, we're here tonight to answer a question that you asked back in, I believe, October, and we apologize for our delay in coming back to you. There's been a lot of items on the agenda. So you asked the question, why did we do so well? And that's a question we ask every year, and that's why we continue to improve. It's because we don't rest on our laurels. We celebrate our successes, but then we look at what were the causes of those and also what might have helped us accelerate even further. And so we're here to present a few of those, our thoughts on that analysis at this point. Just to review, we had a 21-point growth versus a state average of 14 points. 95% of our schools had an API over 800. I'm sorry, 95% of our schools grew, and 84 grew in double digits. All of our comprehensive high schools are above 900 or 800, and 15 of our schools versus 3 in the previous year are above 900. And in that previous year, we had no middle schools. We now have 3 in the 900 category. Kenosha exited PI, program improvement. That's our first school to exit program improvement. And Las Palmas is right on their heels with 71-point growth. They made AYP for the first time, and we are looking forward to them making it again this year, which would exit them from program improvement as well. Just a couple of quotes. However beautiful the strategy, you should occasionally look at the results, and that's what we're doing. It's important that we look at what has happened in all categories. And one of the first things you learn in teaching school is if you find something that's working, steal it and use it yourself. And so what we're doing is we're looking at what is working around the district, what's working in, with certain populations at certain schools, and then we're going to work to replicate that in all of our schools with all of our populations. So what is at the what is it that caused our success? At the core, of course, is classroom instruction. And that is, first, the teachers, but also all of the support staff that surround them. We have systems in place, if you look at our entire district as a system, and the core is the classroom instruction, but then the support systems surround them and make it so that they're insulated and can perform as they need to perform. And so Pam will elaborate right now on our professional learning community teams, which we feel is at the core of the success in our classroom, as well as our school-wide and district-wide systems that we have put in place to lead us on this path to success.
Okay. We have some district-wide systematic efforts that have contributed to our great test scores last year, including a lot of efforts towards aligning of our curriculum, looking at the district-wide data using Data Director, looking at establishing some really great research-based interventions, and also targeting our professional development on things like, for example, our new math, on English language arts, on literacy. This graphic depicts the process that was developed by the district over the last several years for curriculum alignment of instruction and assessment. And this is a really critical piece that I think has contributed to our great test scores. We've been able to, in California, the test scores are a mile wide and an inch deep, unfortunately, and we've been able to try to identify those critical standards that are what we call the power standards. And through that process, we've looked at those power standards because, you know, when you look at the way something is written in education, it's not all that understandable. And so we've taken a look at what we call unwrapping the power standard to identify what the essential pieces of the power standard are that are important for students to learn. And then we've also designed assessments to correlate with that particular power standard. And some of those assessments take on a lot of different forms. We've also looked at what is the power standard, what is it that kids need to know and learn, and also how is it best delivered instructionally. We've come up with some lesson plans associated with those, and then after we teach the lessons, we take a look at what have the kids learned, who learned it, who didn't learn it, how are we going to make some decisions based on where we go from here, based on the data. And then it comes back around to, again, to our power standards. So this is the process that we've been involved in for the last few years, and I think that it's a continuous process and has greatly assisted us in this our test scores. At the site level, we also have school-wide systematic efforts that have increased test scores. We have teams working together. We have progress monitoring of our at-risk students, in some cases every 2 weeks to every month, not just always looking at them to see what's happening with our at-risk students. We have developed district interventions and school-wide pyramid of interventions as we look at going into some more intense models. And schools allocated their resources when we had resources at the site level to support their learning. So we had a lot of schools that were really putting more time and support towards students who were at risk. Insofar as our professional
professional learning communities, they've also contributed to this onion and this, these systems that have caused us to have great test scores from last year. We have collaborative teams working together, planning together. Again, using teams who look at student data, they look at the formative assessments, and they make decisions based on data to adjust their instruction. We had great, powerful interventions, and I think one of the critical pieces is that it's not a one-size-fits-all model, that what works for one child doesn't work for everyone, and so we found that differentiation of the instruction is a very critical piece to what we do in the classrooms. Along the way, we have to monitor. We have data that is summative data that gives us a beginning point as to where a student is beginning and starting at the beginning of the year. At the end of the year, we have the post-mortem summative data. Where did we end up? But in between time is the critical data that we call formative data, and it tells us how to adjust our instruction. So this is a really critical piece that we've been working on for quite a while. It tells us, are we moving in the right direction? Is our pacing good? Are we leaving anybody behind? And we don't want to leave anybody behind along the way. At the core of what we do is our classroom instruction, and this is where the rubber meets the road. It's we look at teachers teaching programs with fidelity, meaning that they're being taught as they're supposed to be taught. We look at targeted staff development for those specific programs, making sure that teachers are trained to teach what they do and what intervention programs they're teaching they're trained to use appropriately. We look at our research on what are the best practices in education, and we're monitoring our student learning. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that at the core of what we do, of course, is our instruction, our great teachers. We have the best and most dedicated and hardworking teachers, but they can't do it alone because it takes all of these, the district-wide systems, the school-wide systems, professional learning communities, all of our people, our classified, certificated, and our Teamsters coming together to really make this all happen and support each other in this great effort. So thank you. Just in a nutshell, thank you for allowing us to share our successes. And if you have any questions, we're available to answer questions.
Thank you, Ms. Watkins. Wonderful presentation. I appreciate that very much. Full of information. Do we have trustees who would like to comment on this in the discussion?
I have a question. I wonder if you can just explain
Trustee
an expression.
Adonizia.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Trustee Adonizia.
Thank you, President Bryson. One of the beginning slides you referenced, I thought you said research-based interventions?
Yes.
What exactly? Tell me
about
that.
Well, it's a very interesting concept. Teachers sometimes, what we found is we've actually looked at what interventions work and what don't work and what research says over the years. So as a district, we've looked at a menu of interventions. And along with that menu of interventions, we look at for which child, there is not one silver bullet that would cure every child's concerns. And so as we look at, let's say, a particular program, there's a profile of a child that works for. And so we try to match, if a child is reading less than 40 words per minute, this might be a good intervention that they would be using. If a child has comprehension concerns, this is another intervention that might be appropriate for that. So it's not only looking at the programs and what research says about them, because they're not all created equal, but also the use of those particular interventions for a specific child and kind of a diagnosis based on the data. So looking at their test scores and what does it tell us about what their child's needs are, we've been able to kind of match those up.
We did have a speaker. Thank you, Trustee Adonizio and Ms. Watkins. I would like to let the speaker speak at this time. Molly Gerritsen on item 39, reasons for increased API. Is Molly still with us here? All right. Obviously, she has not. She has left, so we'll continue with our discussion. Is there any further discussion from trustees?
Trustee Adonizio.
Also, you seem to have had these items in place for more than 1 year, and you improve upon them each year as you go along. Is there one or two, or are there one or two areas that you found to be most beneficial? Because we did have a, you know, quite a jump that we're so pleased with.
Well, I think probably Michelle could refer. The data director was a big piece that we...
We redid the way we tallied this.
Having the ability to really drill down and look at the children as individuals and to look at different groups and what's working by looking at the data was a critical piece. So the addition of a data director, was it last year that we added it for the first time?
Right.
And previous to that time, we didn't have a data warehouse system. And so it was more difficult. Those of us that were looking at data were doing it by hand, using Excel sheets, and it was very time consuming. So I think probably data director, but also really targeting those interventions.
Thank you.
May I just add, I think we eliminated the core level testing last year, and I know a lot of teachers felt that that was another item that they had to attend to. So taking that off their plate allowed them to focus more on the standards-based curriculum. So I think that a lot of them have stated that that has helped. They felt that helped them.
Are there any other discussions that the trustees would like to have on this subject?
Thank you. You're doing a great job, and we look forward to an equal increase next year.
Thank you, Trustee Winsley.
Thank you.
I think it's wonderful. It's a very uplifting report to have just before Christmas to see how many scores have gone up, how many schools have come out of difficult circumstances, and that overall we are definitely moving forward in the positive direction. And thank you for this great explanation overall. As always, you presented a wonderful visual and lots of points, and it was easy for everyone to understand the reason why we're doing that well. Thank you very much. And now we're going on to item 40.
We have a speaker.
Item number 40, authorization of selection for superintendent executive search firm. And we do have a speaker, and I would like to ask Pete Espinoza if you could come forward and speak to item 40, superintendent executive choice.
Yes, I'll make this brief. I think the budget item and the API item supports recommendation in terms of search for the superintendent rep, the 40 search. I've done some work with the Harvard negotiation project as a student of the effort and in different capacities. And one of the things that I learned. It's pretty basic, but it's a challenge, is to bring stakeholders involved in an important process like the search for the and recruitment of the new superintendent. Example would be you had some instructors of this district who are bringing up API scores, and a recommendation would be to honor a teacher to be involved in the process in a substantive, meaningful way. It seems like if you look at research, the more you bring stakeholders involved in key activities, it sets a different tone. And again, we're back to trust and narrowing the gap, because obviously you're at war. Other recommendation would be student leadership. Obviously, Sam's expertise as a student perspective needs to be part of that process from the get-go, as well as classified staff. And also, PTA person who has a good reputation. I mean, I've heard conflicting testimony, but I'm still have trust in PTA membership. They're a strong group. I respect them, and I know you can find a PTA rep also who could be involved in the process. So when I read the board item, it said firm provides services, recruitment, and selection. I'm giving you some examples of some stakeholders that should be involved in that process. And I think it would help to change a path, and right now it's in a movement toward alienation in terms of a tough budget times, and I think this problem-solving approach would be helpful if you bring these people together. They're key players, and there's plenty of evidence, and surely the Harvard Project started in 1976 and his contemporary, Uri Fisher, anthropologist and a lawyer who would do negotiations with Middle East, national, international, and community efforts to create a problem-solving approach, and obviously that's an important goal. And personally, I'd prefer that over war. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Espinoza. Would the trustees like to comment or discuss on this item?
Well, we had an evening where, I'm sorry to get called upon, but...
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Thank you. We had an evening. We had the opportunity to listen to them. If I recall correctly, I liked Rain Associates. Maybe I didn't like Rain Associates. Was it Hazard and Young?
It was.
Hazard and Young, did I comment that night? Hazard, Young, and Attea. So I'll go ahead and make the motion. I'll move forward with Hazard, Young, and Attea.
Second. It has been moved and seconded by Trustee Maddox, Lopez Maddox, and Trustee Adonizio that we move forward. We'll have a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 7-0. We move forward. Now we go to number 41, and we do have a speaker on item 41, resolution of 0910-39, tax reduction on Belarus 981A. That would be Mark Sarvor. Is that correct? Thank you, Mark. Please.
Good evening. My name is Mark Sarver, and I'm a homeowner speaking on behalf of the residents of the Pacifica San Juan development, right here, just up the hill, actually, from this facility. I'm speaking tonight on the resolution you named, which calls for a temporary reduction to the CFD 981A special tax levy. Our community is in a very unique situation versus other Belarus districts in that no bonds have been issued. Furthermore, our community has been abandoned due to bankruptcy proceedings by the developer, the home builder, and the financier of the project, after only being 15% completed. Although there is no debt to service, a special tax has and is being levied at the maximum rate on our community. For the school district's tax consultant firm, the CFD 98-1A documents show that of the proceeds from the bond issuance, 42.27% are to go towards the city facilities, that being the city of San Juan Capistrano, leaving 57.73% to go to the school district. The City of San Juan Capistrano Council members recently issued a formal resolution that stated that the City of San Juan Capistrano's support to temporarily waive that portion of the annual tax levy that is proportionate to the city facilities that would have otherwise been funded by the CFD 98-1A. By issuing this resolution, the City of San Juan Capistrano is recommending that the special tax be temporarily reduced by the 42.27% of the total tax that should be allocated to the city facilities. This reduction would not affect the school district, as it would still get its 57.73% share of the maximum amount of the special tax. In addition to the above, Chris Street in our meeting has agreed that the Orange County Treasurer's Office would waive any fees associated with processing this temporary reduction. So in addition to the school district not being out any monies it would get from the special tax, there are also no fees associated with making this change from the county. For the Belarus documents, the school district is the agent of process for these taxes. As such, it has the authority to make the changes as recommended by the City of San Juan Capistrano. Based on the resolution from the city and the facts stated above, I hope that you support the adjustment and approve the proposal to temporarily reduce the maximum special tax rate by the city's estimated share of that tax levy. We appreciate your consideration in what are challenging times for us all, both personally and professionally. Thank you.
Thank you. Now at this time, we will have some discussion. Is there anyone who wishes to discuss before we vote?
I'd like to go ahead and move staff recommendation.
I'm sorry?
Second.
It has been moved by Trustee Lopez Maddox and seconded by Trustee Winston. Is there any other discussion at this time? Yes, Trustee Adonizio.
Thank you. I'd like to clarify just a few things. Since the bonds have not been issued,
We are collecting the funds. The funds remain within CUSD. At some point in the future, when bonds are issued, we will then remit an amount to the city of San Juan Capistrano. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, and we know that this is a convoluted CFD that's going on here, and I understand that they need to have their taxes adjusted, but it seems to me that the way we're doing it here is putting the cart before the horse, and it seems that we, the district as well as the constituents, may better be served by having the CFD unwound so that we take care of our taxes and that San Juan Capistrano takes care of their taxes. Thus, the constituents can go to the city of San Juan Capistrano rather than having a one-year reprieve of some type, just have the whole thing unwound and the city of San Juan Capistrano can do away with it as they will. But at this point, we are collecting taxes, which we are able to use for our benefit at this time, although we know in the future we're going to have to go ahead and pass those taxes on elsewhere. So I do agree that this needs to be unwound. This is a messy item. The bonds have not been issued. We know all that. But in the meantime, we've already passed what the taxes would be here. And I think that it might be more efficient for the district as well as the constituents, in fact, and the other authority, the city of San Juan Capistrano, if we do go ahead and direct our staff to do some research to see the cost and how to unwind this. Leave the taxes here and direct staff to unwind us from this convoluted CFD so that they are not required then to pay taxes to the city of San Juan, that they're only required to, and that we're not rolling anything over. We don't want to be an agency for the city of San Juan in any way, shape, or form.
Trustee Adonizio, we do have a motion on the floor.
Right, and now I'm discussing it.
Yeah. So, but.
Okay, a substitute motion. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, okay. All right, well, that's my comment.
Can I respond?
No, but I'm sure you will.
Okay. Trustee Winston.
Thank you. Some background here might be helpful. Everything Trustee Adonizio brought up is more or less correct, and that was addressed in the meetings that we had among all the involved stakeholders to figure out what could be done here to give these residents and constituents some temporary relief. And there was a meeting a couple of months ago that Treasurer Street attended. We had representatives from the city of San Juan. Mr. Lebs and Mr. Brockman were present. I attended as the ad hoc representative of the city of San Juan from the board. The community residents were there, and it was a real productive, solution-oriented meeting, and I think it's one that is one example that this board can work with constituents and build trust. What we agreed on at that meeting and what the constituents agreed upon was to try to get them some temporary relief right now, and the county treasurer has agreed to process refunds for them free of charge, even though he could charge them for it or us. And require the same stakeholders to circle back after the new year and sit down and really start further unraveling the puzzle and this convoluted CFD bankruptcy, stalled development, city entitlement mess that exists over there, and do exactly what Trustee Adonizio is suggesting, which is unravel the whole joint facilities district and let the city and the school district operate on separate parallel tracks. But it's very complicated. The property is caught up in the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, if I have it correctly, with SunCal. And to not do this action right now will sort of lose some goodwill that we've gained with the constituents in the city, and also lose use their tentative agreement to take the next agenda item off calendar, which unfortunately could lead to a lawsuit by the constituents against the school district. So I'd recommend we accept the staff recommendation on this agenda item with the understanding that everybody's going to continue working together after the new year. We've got the Taussig CPA here who is at that meeting. The constituents are here. Is that their lawyer? I'm not sure. No. And we'll do that after the new year. And Treasurer Street's request was everybody hit the ground running to work this out promptly in the spring and try to come up with a more long-term solution. The hammer being that this is a one-year deal, right? And it's money that, yes, the school district is collecting, but not earmarked or allocated for anything right now. And
Mr. Lapps, do you need to respond?
So I would urge we pass this agenda item with those comments offered.
I would just like to offer two comments so that it would be entered into the record, and that is this is a temporary reduction for 1 year. And the second is the only reason we're able to do this is because bonds have not been issued. If bonds had been issued, we would need the revenue stream to pay the debt service on the bonds. So I think it's critically important because it isn't something we can necessarily do for other CFDs because bonds have been issued, there's cash flow needs, there's debt service payments that need to be made, and in this particular case, we don't have any bonds, the bonds have not been issued, and there's no debt service.
I would like to address this particular item. As has been mentioned by Trustee Winston, and Trustee Adonizio, and Trustee Lopez Maddox, there are several things here at play, one of which you also mentioned, Mr. Lipps. Number one, the bonds have not been issued, which gives us maneuvering room. And as Treasurer Street mentioned, he is and has offered, and which was also mentioned earlier, to do this whole process, which he discussed with Trustee Winston and the stakeholders in that meeting. And Trustee Adonizio is correct about let's split and separate these issues as we move forward. But I think the key thing here is to go back to what Treasurer Street indicated, that move forward. Because if you're going to take advantage of his offer, if we're going to do the right and proper thing at this time and give a window of opportunity for those discussions while the people involved have some form of relief, excuse me. Therefore, I would also like to strongly urge trustees that we go down the road of accepting the recommendations of the staff at this time. Is there any further discussion, Trustee Winston? Trustee Adonizio.
I'd like to just clarify one thing. If I read the resolution correctly and remember our discussions correctly, we're not giving up any revenue. It's being deferred.
That's correct.
So, thank you.
Trustee Adonizio.
What would be the trustee's general sense that we would receive that deferred revenue next year? The likelihood is what, zero or almost zero?
I'm not saying it will be paid next year. The whole deal is going to be reworked, hopefully, between now and then.
That's the point, right.
Well, it's a tough, terrible, dire, unique situation.
It is indeed a messy knot. Trustee Adonizio, you wish to make another statement?
I do understand where we're going with all of this. Once again, I think we're putting the cart before the horse. I think we should unwind the CFD first. We should fix it once and for all and do it right the first time. And I understand it's about the constituents. We obviously represent them and so forth, but it isn't just about the constituents. We are an agency and we rely upon taxes in order to repair our buildings and keep our schools operating. We have tremendous needs as it is right now with them. We're not able to meet those needs. And the efficiency of doing it right the first time rather than giving a one-time reprieve and then coming back after the new year trying to unravel this whole thing, just unravel the whole thing from the start, and the taxes will take care of themselves. So that's my
comment. Mr. Lebs, following up on Trustee Adonizio's comment, the statement was made that this would not be a reduction in our actual income.
This is not an easy situation or issue, and it isn't very linear in the way it works or how to explain it. The CFD is set up to fund the repayment of bonds. The CFD will do that over and above the money that's collected for the payment of bonds is what's known as the special tax, which can fund a variety of things, including the facilities that the bonds are funding, that the bonds will fund as well. So one way of looking at it is, yes, you are giving up revenue. Another way of looking at it is that you're simply deferring that revenue that you may be getting to an out year, and it could be many years out. But we will not be shortchanging ourselves from the revenue stream that we would need to fund the bonds.
Thank you very much. I do personally feel that the treasurer's advisory on this has a lot of weight, and have discussed that with him, as he has discussed with several of the trustees on these issues. Is there any further discussion on this matter?
So,
Trustee Adonizio.
So we're satisfied with reducing current revenue.
I would add that is with the understanding of the community that within that year's framework, is that not correct, Trustee Winston, that they would come to move the unraveling forward?
This is temporary, so that next year will be permanent.
Correct.
If I understand the question correctly, I don't know if you even call this revenue, since in this category. It's not money we will spend in the next year, right? It's not included in your interim report.
This is CFD funds. It's not in the interim report.
Right.
But they are dollars we can spend.
You are correct. They are dollars that are available for the facilities that are listed within the CFD.
Right. And the CFD that was written up and targeted in this big pile of paper we all looked at is non-functional, is in bankruptcy, and
the developer is, not the CFD.
Right. Okay, the development is. We spent 2 hours discussing it, and I don't want to get into that detail here, but there are 60 families out there having a really tough time paying their tax bill and probably didn't pay the one that was due last week. And they've come forward and in good faith asked if something could be done. And for money we could collect and look at it in the bank account, these people are asking for a workout, I guess is the word. And this is the first step of what's going to be a harder look. And yes, we could defer it, but then these people don't get the relief that they've kindly asked for, politely asked for. And we're going to go down the next path on the next agenda item, which is going to be the first step towards lawyering up and going in the wrong direction on this one for sure. So it's not an ideal world, and this is a pretty pragmatic solution, and it's going to lead to the same end result that Trustee Adonizio is talking about, and I don't see any reason to not approve this agenda item.
At this time, Trustee Adonizio, if you would wait one moment. Superintendent Mahler has been trying to get my attention, and
I
apologize to you, Superintendent Mahler.
Perhaps the critical question is regarding this revenue that we're determining whether to collect or not collect is whose revenue is it? If the bonds were sold, we would be needing to repay those bonds, and we, meaning the city and the district. Is that correct? And if it is not correct, what is correct? Is that total revenue CUSD revenue? Because we are not wound, is part of it theirs? If part of it is theirs, in the interim, while we would be collecting their revenue for them, do we need to hold it for the future for them? Or is it disposable for us for our own facilities?
You've buried about four different questions with six different answers within your comments.
And I apologize
but
it's got to be asked.
Let me see if I can unravel this. Again, this is a non-linear problem. Okay. The reason we find ourselves at this juncture is because the CFD formation documents never anticipated what we find ourselves in. It didn't anticipate that bonds would not be sold. It anticipated that the development would be intact, that the homes would be built, that the revenue stream would be in place, and that the bonds would be sold by this time, so that then the revenue stream that would be coming in would cover the cost of the bonds, the debt service, as well as provide some a slight amount of additional revenue over and above that for special tax. There are multiple ways to look at at the answer to your question. To answer it in a pure sense, in a pure form, the money belongs to CUSD. It is under our control to spend at our disposal in the absence of the issuance of bonds. However, at some point, I believe, based on the comments from the staff at San Juan, City of San Juan, is they're going to be asking the same question these homeowners have asked, is you're collecting the funds on the behalf of the city, what are you doing with it? So this is just a multi-layered problem without a single answer to any one question. I have experience in previous district where we didn't issue the bonds for like 15 years. They simply collected the tax and we bought school facilities with the revenue that was coming in, and then bonds were issued 15 years or so after the formation of the CFD. But in this case, we didn't necessarily anticipate buying the actual facilities with the revenue stream. It was anticipated that the bonds would be purchased.
And in your prior case, you were not in a situation where you were integrated.
That is correct.
With a city.
That is correct. It becomes rather complicated.
And what I hear is the crux of the discussion between Ms. Adonisio, Trustee Adonisio, and Trustee Winston is the bifurcation of this wrap together tax situation. And should it come first or should it come second? So that's really where we're at. And I just needed to clarify for everybody, because you're going to have to vote on it, on what it is you're voting about.
Thank you, Superintendent Mahler. I tend to agree with the timeline of Trustees Lopez Maddox and Trustee Winston. I think that in order to keep the goodwill that was negotiated, in order to keep the trust, in order to keep the progress, and in order to be able to actually unwind it from the city, which I think it would definitely be beneficial, frankly, I think it would be a good thing to move this item. Is there any further discussion? Yes, Trustee Palazzo.
I would just like to clarify, what monies are there now? Is it $274,000 approximately that we have?
Approximately last year, which is when we began assessing the special tax, I believe we collected about $450,000 that
first
year.
Okay, so that we have that now, which is sitting doing nothing. Are we going to have to give any of that money to the city?
No.
Okay, so that money, if I'm looking at the CFD 98-1, correct, I'm looking at the chart you had passed out to us at one time. That money could be spent on Marco Forrester Middle School, San Juan Hills High School. And I'm seeing I'm seeing Ambuel on the list. So those three things, it was written up. So could that money, that $400,000, be spent on capital improvements at that school if we so choose, or is there a reason? Why are we holding that money for future? Theoretically, you know, with our situation the way it is, I'm not advocating. I'm just asking.
I think you've asked a couple of questions. I think
okay.
The first question was, could we spend the money on capital improvement projects at those listed schools? And the answer to that question is yes.
We could do that now.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
And the second, can you?
And I.
Help
I
me
guess
with your
I think that was the second part of it. Will we have to give any of that $400,000 to the city? So theoretically,
no. Okay. Technically, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Excuse me. Is there any further discussion from the trustees? Trustee Adonizio.
Thank you, President Bryson. Can we use any of these dollars to pay down the COP for this building?
That's a loaded question.
I don't believe so. And
one person at a time, please. Trustee Adonizio.
Definitively answer the question.
That's all right.
I would like to direct staff not to answer
right.
a question that they do are not certain of.
I just want to clarify my position here. I agree. I think this is a snarky deal. It's really unfortunate that these residents ended up with a wraparound type deal where they're paying taxes to the city when they thought perhaps they might have been, you know, for the school district. And I know that this needs to be unwound, and I agree that's a responsible way to go. Once again, I believe we should unravel it first. I don't see anything in here, or maybe I'm just missing it, where we are directing staff then to go ahead and unwrap this, or even direct the staff to begin working on unwrapping this CFD, or the costs that might be associated with that. So, nonetheless, I support unraveling the CFD. I think it should be done immediately. I think it should be done before we go ahead and reduce any taxes. As long as these dollars are in our coffers, I expect to use them on our students. I understand the obligations of the residents. We have obligations as well. We have obligations to 50,000 students.
Trustee Adonizio, would you make a motion to extend us past 11, please?
I move we move, extend the meeting for half an hour.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Trustee Palazzo, thank you very much.
I think we need to vote.
Are you complete? I was waiting to recognize Trustee Palazzo, who had a comment.
On the extending the meeting.
Right. No, I'm aware of that. But she was also trying to make a comment earlier. And before we vote, I would like her to have the opportunity to make her comment.
I was just saying, if this would be helpful, the form that you filled out, it had given to us on all our CFDs and what can fund what, it doesn't list for Trustee Adonizio. It does not list on that for to pay the COP debt service. The CFD 98-1 does not.
Thank you.
All in favor of extending the meeting?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The meeting is extended. One nay. Six.
So wrapping up my comments, I do understand it's a snarky deal. I know it needs to be unraveled ad nauseum. I'm going to say we need to unravel it first and address the tax issue second. I'm completed with my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Adonizio. At this time, we are going to have a motion, please.
There's a motion and a second.
All right, then we're going to vote. All in favor?
No.
Roll call. Excuse me.
Student Advisor Son Alakani.
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio.
Nay.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
President Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
So I have an additional comment then, if I may.
We have the vote 6-1.
I would like to direct staff or have perhaps you work with staff then to work on unwinding this item and have it on a January agenda for at least some type of time frame so this can be done so that we don't have to worry about another interim reduction.
Mr. Labs, could you explore that possibility?
We'd be happy to do that. It might be difficult to get it on the January agenda because
February.
So we can be, I understand the direction. We'll get working on it.
Well, okay. We just don't want to go through this again.
I understand.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Labs, and thank you, Trustee Adonisio. All right. We have two speakers for item number 42. Stacy Baumentran and Mark Sarver. Mr. Sarver.
Thank you.
Thank you. And this is on resolution 0910-40.
Thank you very much. On behalf of all of our homeowners, first of all, I'd like to thank the trustees. I know this has been a lot of thoughtful deliberation. We actually started this process back in March of this year, so we've been at this for quite a long time. And we regret having to speak at a forum like this when there's a lot of other pending issues. We've tried to do this outside of this forum, and we haven't been successful at that. However, in particular, we would like to take some time to thank a few folks. We'd like to thank Trustee Winston. He was the person at one of these meetings that called for a task force to further look into this and find an equitable resolution to what was going on, so we very much appreciate that. Ron Lebs and his staff also coming through, and thoughtful documentation, the things they provided, we also very much appreciate. And we certainly would like to also thank the City Council of San Juan Capistrano. They've been terrific. In particular, Mr. Sam Alivato and Acting City Manager Cindy Russell have played a leadership role in making this happen. And at this time, therefore, we would like to respectfully withdraw our petition, which is this resolution that's currently next. So we'd like to withdraw off the table, if I'm saying that correctly.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your consideration. Thank you.
And do we have the other Stacy? Is she here? Stacy will speak to the petition.
Yes, I just wanted to say thank you very much, and I just want to say that it definitely makes me very happy to see government working, to get together and try to figure out, we're all from one end to the other end, but meet in the middle, and that's what's really important. And definitely, if there was any way to unwind it, we would have done that, but unfortunately, our hands are tied because of the Lehman bankruptcy. So, there, you know, hopefully we can find some way around it, but it probably will take a very long time. So I just really appreciate everybody's efforts and work, and I just think that whatever anybody goes through, you just have to keep working at it, talking, and figuring out, meeting in the middle, and everybody has to give up a little.
Trustee Bryson, may I ask a question?
Are you complete with your
Yes,
I have a question of this constituent. Are you saying that it's difficult to unwind the CFD due to the Lehman Brothers bankruptcy?
I would assume that's the case.
I would like to add that that is what they encountered at the time, but may not be a problem moving forward. Okay?
Right. We need to look into it.
It's not in concrete.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Yes. Thank you.
Do we have any other comments from trustees? Do we have a motion?
This agenda
item. It has been moved to withdraw by Trustee Winston and seconded by Trustee Lopez Maddox. All in favor? Oh, we're going to have a roll call vote. Thank you.
Student Advisor Sal Malakani.
Aye.
Trustee Adonisio.
Aye.
Trustee Brick.
Aye.
President Bryson.
Aye.
Trustee Christensen.
Aye.
Trustee Lopez Maddox.
Aye.
Trustee Palazzo.
Aye.
Trustee Winston.
Aye.
And now we're going on to item number 43.
I'd like to go ahead and move staff recommendation.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Item number 44.
Is this the first reading? I beg your pardon.
Item number 44.
To answer your question, it was part of the staff recommendation was to waive second reading.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number 44.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Updates of progress on Division of State Architect project listing, work schedule, etc.
John Forney is going to provide us with the monthly update again, and within the context of that, there's some additional information we would like to provide for you.
Thank you, Mr. Lebs. Madam President, trustees, Dr. Mahler, Jane, and student advisor. Back in November, the November board meeting, the DSA update was tabled due to time, so I'll be quick here. There were no changes that occurred in the month of November on the DSA update, so I brought it back to this board meeting. So I'd like to move on to the next board item.
All right.
We just wanted to make sure we followed the proper parliamentary procedure because the item was tabled. We brought that item back specifically, and we're going to the next
one. Number 45.
Thank you. The December update has a few changes. The ambial modernization, the scope of work was never started, so we don't have to complete the modernization there. So a refund has been sent to DSA, and we're waiting for the refund check of the money that for the application. Trustee Palazzo, at the last board meeting, you were asking about the reloads at Ambule, whether or not they were DSA approved. I did some research. The reloads are approved buildings, but they were not approved to be moved into the configuration that they're currently at. So I'm going to move forward and see what needs to be done to go through the process to get that approved. As far as the Dana Hills High School Theater, Performing Arts Theater, and Capitol Valley High School's Performing Arts Theater, comments have come back. They're with WLC Architects going over to see what comments and changes need to be made on those projects. And as far as the Dana Hills High School gym floor and bleacher replacement, comments came back today. And I haven't had a chance to really review it with the architect to see what changes may need to be made. Fire life safety was approved on the project, as well as structural. There were some access compliance issues that came back from DSA that we need to address.
Trustee Adonizio had asked a question today via email regarding the funding that's intact for the two theaters, and I will follow up and respond to that question. I think everything's okay, but you do ask a good question, so I'll get that back out to trustees. Go ahead.
Thank you.
Just on the theater, so we still don't have DSA approval on the Dana Point, the Dana Hills bleachers gym floor. We don't have DSA approval.
No, not yet. Not yet.
And, you know, I have concerns because I know how, you know, everything takes time to get the approvals, go out to bid, and it's very important that we get that done this summer.
I'm pushing for a spring of 2010.
Okay.
So I'm working with the site. Like I said, the comments came back today, late this afternoon, and there are some access compliance issues which we could work into the project, but that could increase the cost. So I want, you know, the trustees to be aware of what the cost may be. But we're still pushing for spring. As you know, due to the state of California's crisis, funding for school facilities across the state have been literally slashed. CUSD, in the past years, we've received $3 to $4 million a year in deferred maintenance money. Currently, CUSD has $3 to $4 million for the next 5 years to fund projects in deferred maintenance. With the limited funding and reduction of maintenance staff, M&O has had to work in primarily a reactive mode, just waiting for the next fire to come up. So since July, I've been working with M&O staff to try to develop more of a proactive approach, not wait for the work orders to come to us, but us going out to the sites and seeing where the issues are and addressing them before the sites send them in. Given the board's desire to improve the conditions of our facilities, staff provided a list of priority repairs to the board this past September to help identify some of the red hots around the district. Tonight I've provided the board, hopefully you got it, an updated priority repair list, as well as a winter break project list of what we're attempting to work on over the winter break. I also wanted to mention some things that come up when we're working on work orders. For instance, our last rain, we had 70 roof leaks that came in since 12-3. This is really common when you design schools with flat roofs. So to me, roofs are priorities. We have to seal up the roofs and make sure that we're not getting moisture in the classrooms and admin buildings and so forth. So just to let trustees know that we're working all hands on with roof leaks. And I'm sure when the next rain comes, we'll get another 70 to 100 work orders. Is there any questions?
I do have a question.
Sure.
And I'm sorry that I didn't
Trustee
talk.
Palazzo, would you please, you know, give me a moment
I'm
to
sorry.
Recognize you.
I'm
Thank
sorry.
You.
Trustee, I'm sorry, Trustee Bryson. Thank you. I'm sorry. I didn't call you ahead of time on this, so you may not be able to answer this. But when I was looking at our facility master plan and was going over the San Clemente High School, and I did take a tour, Trustee Adonisio and I did take a tour of the upper campus in November. And one of the things I noticed on the maintenance and operation was the roof of Building 100 is going to be replaced in the summer of 2009. The roof at the Shop Building was going to be replaced in the summer of 2009. And I'm those were not replaced, I don't believe. Or were they?
What is it you're looking
at? I am looking at the maintenance. I'm looking at the facilities maintenance. You know, the notebooks, the big notebooks.
The WLC put together.
That WLC put together. And I apologize because I didn't call ahead of time with this. But do you know offhand this? It said the roof was going to be replaced and it wasn't. And when you give a report like that and the architect says, oh, you know, it didn't put much emphasis on it because it was going to be done in 2009, the summer of 2009. And this report, I believe, was done in March of 2008, was it? So this was something that they noted, didn't maybe put too much emphasis on it because it was going to be done now. And I guess my point being here, you have it also on roof leaks above Triton Center. Is that building 100 or the Shop Building? Do we know? And I, you know what? I'm just going to maybe refer this to you and let you investigate this and get back to us on it. I guess my concern is that this is money. If these things can be done, this can be done, paid for with the CFD out of Talega, correct? The CF 92. I'm looking.
This is
at
a deferred maintenance issue.
This is a deferred maintenance.
Roofing is a deferred maintenance issue.
Okay, so the roof would be a
deferred maintenance issue.
Okay, thank you.
Can you get me specifically after the meeting what you were...
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any other comment from trustees?
Yes.
Trustee Adonisio.
Thank you, Trustee Bryson. I see projects under planning, something that I am concerned about that you brought to our attention last month or so, and that is the lighting on the La Pata area along by San Juan Hills High School. I noticed it isn't here. If you could just remember to, when you update your projects, to go ahead and include that. Is there a reason why it isn't? Just
go ahead, John.
Thanks. Yes, I'm working with Sanyo Gas and Electric on the La Pata issue, and the recommendation was to wait till the first of the year in case if the taxes change, that we wouldn't be doing it twice. We can just issue the PO one time to get it taken care of. So you'll be seeing this the first of the year, the LAPADA, to move forward.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Labs.
President Adonisio had contacted me earlier this month with regard to the Newhart MPR and had asked some questions regarding that. And at one point, I think it was before I started working for the district, there was some discussion about removing some walls or expanding, moving some doors and expanding the MPR to create a bigger space. And it is a rather small space for a middle school. They can't get very many kids in there at one time. I just wanted to follow up and let the board know that we are looking at that. We're going to take a look at it with the architects and see if there's some things we can do there very simply to help alleviate some of that crowding and move that forward and move that along. So we need to do an investigation to determine whether or not it's bearing wall and exactly what's involved, and then we'll report back to the board. So I didn't want that to go unmentioned.
Thank you, Mr. Labs. Is there any other comment from the trustees? Thank you very much. At this time, we will recess for the final closed session item.